love to welcome the department, welcome the National Commissioner and the management of SAP. SAP further would want to, would love to welcome the members of the Portfolio Committee, members of public who might be here as meetings are open. Also, I can actually see that we also have a media amongst us here. You are most welcome. We have received apologies from Honorable Mo Chumi. I think she is with the Portfolio Committee. Also from Reverend Mishwe. We seem to be having a standing apology from a full member, Mlambo. And I wonder if we should not formally in this meeting request the party from which this member comes to speak to the member, because ever since she was allocated to the Portfolio Committee, she has never, I don't even know whether she's she or he, never attended any of our meetings, so that if she cannot, we can then request formally that she be removed, so that we don't count a person who makes our quorum a difficult. And therefore I'm requesting the party to please talk to the officials about the meeting. I also would want to mention and make the members aware that our program for today will in the main be focusing on SAPs. We'll be dealing with, of course, their strat plan, annual performance plan, but also, of course, the budget in the main, particularly focusing on the administration program. But tomorrow morning, we have added some items on our agenda. In the morning from 9:30 to 10, just for 30 minutes, the Portfolio Committee will deal with the Public Protector Report. In that regard, we'll be discussing the processing of that report as to how, as the Portfolio Committee, do we want to process that report. Because we'll not be discussing the content of the report, I think 30 minutes will be enough. And following that, we will have the department presenting to us visible policing, program, and protection services. In the afternoon, we have had to add another item, which will be the secretariat, and that will be the stretch plan, annual performance plan, and of course the budget for the secretariat. And on Thursday, we will again focus on crime intelligence and detective services program for the department. Following this, as you will know, including the hearings that we had from stakeholders, members will remember we conducted hearings on the budget for the department, and we had Pop Prusapu, the Auditor General, FSC, and this exercise we are engaging on. We'll then compile a report which we must adopt on the 12th of April when we come back from the constituency period. It will be the first day, and on the 13th we'll then have our debate. It is because of the fact that procedural in Parliament we have to adopt this report before we can debate the budget for the department. Otherwise, if we have not adopted our report, we cannot debate the budget. So it will be in that spirit that we're going to do that on the 12th, and that also have therefore effected change on the date of our budget vote debate, which will include SAP's budget as well as ICD, of course, a secretariat as well. So our budget vote is on the 13th of April. And also it is informed by the fact that one of the APEX committees, and therefore we are prioritized that even before we go on that longer constituency maintenance period that will include period for the elections, we are almost done with the five priority portfolio committees or APEX committees. I thought it is important to inform members about these changes that are effected on our program. But I think in just remarking today, I just want to say what we all know, the fact that the core function of police is to fight crime. You can go out and ask anybody, they will easily tell you that police are there to fight crime. Whether they are doing that by preventing crime, or they are doing that by intervening where crime has occurred, but they are expected to fight crime. And the question, therefore, will be, are our SAPS members in South Africa fighting crime? And without any shade of doubt, the answer is a big yes, they are. And to and of course, like I've said, there is enough evidence. It is overwhelming. For instance, crime stats last year that was released by the minister prove that crime is decreasing. We sometimes talk about successful hosting of FIFA World Cup and say it as if it was just an event or one of the smaller things that we could do. But the fact of the matter is that was a massive event, and that we managed to host it successfully as we did, to such an extent that we had very few incidents of crime during that period. It proves beyond any doubt that members of SAPS are fighting crime. We learn today on media, whether it is TV or newspapers, that arms have been discovered there and there, and we take it like it has to happen like that, but indeed, it is because SAPS members are fighting crime. And therefore, all this proves that SAPS members indeed are fighting crime. And the question, therefore, will be, why, therefore, are we worried? Why must we sit here and discuss and sometimes ask questions, sometimes scream, sometimes be emotional about issues? The fact of the matter is that as we are busy fighting crime this side, criminals stand in direct opposite of our achievements. And one fear is that whatever that we think we have achieved can actually be reversed by criminals, because they are there. They are outside there. Others, they are serial rapists. Others, they are serial murderers. Others, they are this and that. But they are there, ready to commit crime. As we are seated here planning, they are also seated somewhere planning. Others are sophisticated criminals who have money that is much more than the money that we're talking about today here. And it is in this spirit that we believe that all of us are expected to play our roles and responsibilities towards ensuring that, first, we sustain what we have achieved, but secondly, that we improve what we have achieved. Because I believe that we can improve, we can reduce crime even more. If it was possible that in 2000 and whatever, crime in this country was about 26,000 something, and today, in fact, murder, and today we are talking of 16,800 murders, and therefore 10,000 decrease in murder, it means we can decrease murder even more. And it is in this spirit that we therefore sit here and say, what is it that we think should be done? The minister, in his forewords in the annual performance plan of the department, acknowledges that there have been challenges as well as triumphs in this warfare on crime. And in these meetings, whilst acknowledging the successes that the department is making and continues to make. Unfortunately, we do not have adequate time to focus on successes. But the little time that we have as such forces us to raise that which might look like challenges or that which is real challenges. Otherwise, if we were to focus on successes, our meetings here would end up being just praises and singing of praises at the expense of challenges that are out there. It is in the spirit of that in meetings such as this, we focus on that which we think are challenges or shortcomings. And as members of parliament, we do have other avenues where we raise successes and achievements that are made by the department. We do that in the House in the form of statements. We do that when we are debating. But it would be very difficult for us in meetings such as this to again continue to praise at the expense of that which we think might be shortcomings. The minister in the annual performance plan raises a number of issues which I think we'll also have to discuss in this meeting. He raises issues including crime against the most vulnerable, and in this case and in his case it will be women and children. He raises issues related to human resource development, which he says from recruitment to retirement. He raises issues such as arresting criminals but securing convictions as priorities. He raises issues such as strengthening detectives and investigative arms. He correctly states that the success of SAPS must be judged according to the number of successful convictions SAPS make. And I want to believe that as the Portfolio Committee and all of us cannot agree more with what the minister is saying. It is in the spirit of what I have said that our meetings take the form of allowing the department to make presentations and also allowing members to ask questions for clarity, and of course members raising that which they think might be shortcomings based on what is in the documents that are presented to the department, but also that which members discover when they visit institutions. As I close my remarks, can I once more request the department to please read reports that we compile as the Portfolio Committee after visiting institutions, because it is when these reports are read that we are able to see whether they are included or incorporated into the annual performance plan or strategic plans or reports for the department. I would again request that the department should ensure that after each visit, because surely they will be knowing, they always trace reports that we compile after that, so that they can then on their own, without us inviting them or raising issues here, can attend to issues that are raised by the Portfolio Committee in those reports. There have been quite a number of the reports. Some have been adopted by the House in the recent weeks, and I am indeed requesting the department to get these copies so that they can look into them and take note of what the Portfolio Committee is recommending and is raising to the department. Some of these have been adopted by Parliament. That will include the report that we compile after these budget hearings. We adopted a report last year. We adopted a report after the annual report hearings. We are going to adopt a report even this year. And in all this, we always make recommendations to the department. And that will be my opening remarks. We are going to allow the National Commissioner to take us through the documents that were forwarded to us. I think it is important that I mention to the National Commissioner that indeed we received documents well on time. In fact, the document for presentation here was brought to me whilst I was in the meeting with the Appropriation Portfolio Committee. I browsed through it and thought that probably that was a better prepared document, and therefore we are appreciating this, that fact. We have received an addendum to the annual performance plan, which I think the department will be able to talk to. And then, of course, we'll allow the department to present, I want to believe, the CFO, the overall budget, and then focus on the administration today, which is our focus area. Over to you, National Commissioner.
Thanks, Madam Chair, honorable members, my colleagues, the media. Madam Chair, without stealing the thunder, maybe responding to the reversal of the gains, that will be always the fight between the criminals and the law enforcement agencies. We're having a massive operation this morning in Eastern Cape because last night there was an accident near one of our police stations. I think it's the border. A truck, whatever happened to it, but it was an accident. Our police went to attend the accident because it was near the police station. As the police were busy attending the accident, the police station was raided. Was raided, and they took 3 R5s. Those people that raided the police station while they were attending this, we suspect it's a so-called accident. We have established the person is one of the notorious criminals around that area who has just recently escaped from the correctional services. So we're having that massive manhunt this morning because we have established who the person is. So I agree with you. That's a forever plan because now it looks like we did not have an accident. It was something else rather than the accident. Indeed, police had to attend to the accident while they were there. This happened. Thanks, Madam Chair. As Madam Chair has mentioned, we have submitted the extra document as per direction of the portfolio committee in our interaction and engagement last week. Madam Chair, we are trying to look at the strategic direction as we're informed by several other documents and policy directions, but we would love to start with the State of the Nation as presented by the President, His Excellency, on the 10th February 2011, to continue to improve capacity and effectiveness of the police, in particular the detective services, forensic analysts, and crime intelligence. We have increased visible policing and patrols in the identified hotspots, proliferation of illegal and legal firearms, prioritize crimes against women and children, more energy in the fight against drug abuse and drug peddling, not tolerate tavern owners who sell alcohol to children, fight against corruption also continues. We'll close course there, which is one of the documents that inform our direction. Also, the Minister of Finance and the Budget Speech, 23rd February 2011, refers to the phrases like increase in police personnel, upgrade of information technology. The strategic direction of the department is directed by the President's State of the Nation Address and takes into account 1. The medium-term strategic framework, government's program of action, and the criminal justice system review. The strategic issues impacting on the department are addressed inter alia by the strategic plan, the estimate of national expenditure, the annual performance plan 2011-2012. Continues this direction that inform our going forward. Intensifying the fight against crime, which is channeled towards one goal. That goal is, quote, all people in South Africa are and feel safe, resulted in the development of an outcome-based model and monitoring tool by the presidency together with the JCPS cluster, which focuses on levels of overall conduct and trio crimes, effectiveness and integration of the criminal justice system, corruption, crime perception management, effectiveness and integration of border management, security, securing the identity and status of citizens, and integration of information communication technology system and the development of an integrated cybercrime approach. Madam Chair, if I could pause here and further say some points, especially last three, while police are getting strategic direction from, but they will be also led by other components of the JCPS rather than the police per se. While police are the main component, but are led by other components, like the effectiveness and integration of the border management. Police are doing a lot of job, but is led by the state security in the JCPS per se. So I wanted just to highlight that point. Strategic priorities 2011-2012. Emanating from these strategic directive principles, the department will focus on the following areas 2011-2012. Crime prevention. Reduction of crime levels, in particular trio crimes and crimes against women and children. Improving police response and the policing of incidents of public disorder. Substance abuse and contributing factor to the violent nature of crime. Measurable increase in visibility through police action. Implementation of intelligence-driven integrated crime prevention strategy and reduction of illegal firearms. Crime perception management. Mobilization of the community in the fight against crime. Building a positive image of the SEPs and implementation of the victim empowerment program. Effectiveness and integration of border management. Contribute to effective border management and the establishment of border management agency. Continues, Madam Chair. Combating corruption. The prevention, detection, and investigation of corruption in the SEPs. Managing perceived and actual levels of corruption and coordinated anti-corruption operations across the CJS, criminal justice system. Investigation of crime. Effective investigation of reported crime with the focus on the detection and court-ready docket rates. Coordinated focus on apprehending and charging known criminals. Further capacitating of the detectives and DPCI. Focus on the national priority crimes, including serious economic crimes, with the key consideration being the combating of cybercrime and identity theft, corruption, and organized crime. Improving of criminal justice system. Establishment of specialized units to deal with priority crimes, particularly crimes against women and children and stock theft. Intelligence utilization and coordination of delivery of quality and professional services. Support to the investigation of crime. Improve forensic service and fingerprints. Improve the collection of evidence. Improving procedures for the updating of records of offenders. further capacitating of the criminal records and forensic science services, and enhanced processing of forensic and fingerprints evidence. Crime intelligence. Provide actionable intelligence on crime priorities and to enable prosecution. Emphasize intelligence operations pertaining to serious crime, including conduct and real crimes, syndicates involving drug and people smuggling and human trafficking. Capacitate crime intelligence. Enhance the quality of threat assessment. Improving targeted undercover operations through advanced covert methodology, and improve coordination between crime intelligence and operational divisions. Continues, Madam Chair, these priorities. Human capital development. Skills development through training, provisioning, plan, and retention of skills. Focus recruitment of personnel through human resource management plan. Health and wellness of employees and transformation. Budget and resource management. Improving infrastructure. Building of new police stations, offices, and the refurbishment of existing stations, offices. Victim-friendly facilities, enhancing asset management and critical items, including vehicles and bullet-resistant vests, usually it's called bulletproof vest, bullet-resistance vest, enhanced information system and information communication technology, that is IS and ICT, development of IS, ICT, including integration of system across the cluster, coordinated management of continuum of criminal justice and performance across the CJS, and implement information and communication technology plan. In short and summarized version, Madam Chair, our priorities will be the linkages to other plans and strategies like human resource management plan, information and communication technology plan, anti-corruption strategy, risk management strategy, service delivery improvement program, and rural safety strategy. Madam Chair, we will then request the permission to proceed on the forecast, as I've given the overall of the administration that will be led by the CFO to start before other components may come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. We now come to the performance information as indicated in the annual performance plan. An addendum has been distributed to members of the committee, and we would like also to refer to the addendum in this regard. This is performance information, performance indicators, baselines and targets relating to Program 1 administration, which is a supportive program in the vote police. May I then ask members to go to slide number 4, 3 and 4 in this regard so that we can start with this program. Slide number 3 basically in essence referred to the broader portioning of this program, and it relates to the ministry, management, corporate services and property management. As we've indicated in the past, it is in essence a prescribed apportioning categories, and we will now reflect performance indicators as well as baselines and targets in this regard. May I just also indicate to members that certain refinements took place after the last week's meeting, and it will be indicated to members, although it's very, very marginal of nature and more of a technical care nature. May we, Kevin, then go to slide number 4 in this regard. The first performance indicator here is the percentage of personnel in terms of the approved establishment. Now, why would the department indicate the percentage of personnel in terms of the approved establishment? It is in order to set ourselves a threshold of the minimum number of employees, police people, in order to provide a policing service. The baseline indicator there is 98.9%. In numeric terms, 190,199. That was a target at that point in time in the 2000-2010 financial year. Members are made aware of the fact that the baselines are 2009-10 financial year and not 2010-11, the reasons being it was a fully actual year, and then also it was an audited year. 2010-11 is still in progress and an estimate. The target at that point in time in 2009-10 was 90%. In the current financial year, which we have not completed, it's 95%. But the most important aspect, we're moving from a baseline of 98%, and we, as the department say, we would like to maintain 98% as a minimum level of the filling status in the department. Secondly, the percentage of learners declared competent upon completion of other of their training in terms of the training provisioning plan. This is an indicator, we believe, reflecting the provision of needs-based training. Members will immediately see the percentage of earners declared competent upon completion of their training in terms of the TPP. We express one value in terms of another, so it's a ratio indicator. It's 88.1% was the baseline. In the coming financial year, 2011-12, the department says we will still maintain 88%. If we convert that to figures, one will immediately see that in the baseline year, the 88.1%, 231,205 people were trained, of which 203,791 members were found competent. So it's a competency measurement. In the coming financial year, 2011-12, the 88% will reflect 152,138 people to be trained. There's just the typing error, that 8 must be a 7, it's just one person, but it's nevertheless, we would like to indicate it to the committee. Members will be trained, of which 11,889 will be detectives. That is in terms of the HRD performance indicator. Then we go to the third performance indicator, compensation expenditure versus operational expenditure. This is a well-known one which has been coming for quite a long time and a threshold for us to say, let's monitor ourselves and see whether either operational, but especially compensation expenditure is not running away, and at the end of the day we pay salaries and we will not be able to pay operational expenses and therefore perform policing per se. It was 71.29. And then it became 73.27 in the current financial year. And we've indicated this is, again, 72.28, but we've said we would like to indicate, as reflected on the board, to make that 71.29. It will be a tight indicator, but that will be the ratio for the coming financial year, 71.29, as published in the Blue Book or the Annual Operational Plan. If we move over to slide number 5. This focuses mainly on the management of supply chain management, an important environment in the department. The first indicator is a percentage of capital investment, asset management, and maintenance plan completed. If members will look at the first baseline and target. The target says 100% firearms, of which 6,600 are to be purchased, and bullet-resistant vests, 9,628, planned for, to be procured and distributed. In the previous financial year, it was only a distributing performance indicator relating to bullet-resistant vests. So this performance indicator has been expanded to include firstly firearms and then also procured and distributed, not merely just distributed per se. The second one, 100% of firearms to be DOTTON marked, that is the specific marking on the firearm per se, and I believe that members and the department a couple of weeks ago had a discussion relating to the subject matter of firearms. Then also, thirdly, the ratio of personnel to vehicles, an overall ratio, which in 2009-2010 was 4.61 to one person. We would like to say that we would like to maintain a ratio of 4.51 to one personnel to vehicles. So 4.5 personnel to one vehicle. This will then be reflected from 2009-2010 an improved ratio. In the last instance, regarding this specific slide, we're getting to the property management environment, and it relates to new police facilities. Three and two in the 2009-2010 financial year, the target for 2011-12 will be 70% of police facilities projects completed, new facilities 11, newly re-established facilities 4, re-established facilities 8, and repaired and upgraded facilities 7. These are the targets for the coming financial year. And more elaboration will be found later on in the text once we start dipping into the detail of Program 1. The second last slide, slide number 6, is a new performance indicator and in essence relates to basic services at police stations. Members will immediately see that the target is 90% of capacity projects to be completed. The capacity projects refer to 14 police stations to be provided with electricity generators, and we mean substantial and sufficient, adequate electricity generators. 51 police stations to be provided with water, and 85 police stations to be assisted with sanitation. This will also be elaborated on further in the text. That is why we say it relates to the basic services at police facilities. And a new indicator. The last slide under Program 1, and that is slide number 7, relates to the management of IT. The performance indicator under the performance under the information technology aspect reads as follows: percentage of planned development within the SAPS and between relevant departments, sustainability and implementation of systems. There was no specific baseline for this in 2009-10. There is a baseline in 2010-11, but not in 2009-10 as the baseline year. It is indicated under the target that once again 70% of IS, ICT annual funded projects will be completed regarding the IT environment. The last performance indicator is an enhanced service delivery indicator and reflects the number of service delivery inspections conducted at cluster and station levels. Their reference is made to 580 inspections conducted in that specific year under review, which will then increase to 600 service delivery inspections for the 2010-11 financial year. This is in relation to the performance indicator, Madam Chairperson. Would you please allow me then to move over to the numeric portion of the presentation, or what is your indication, Chairperson? Thank you. When we get to the numeric portion of the presentation, members should please just page to slide number 27 and especially 28. Now, to a large extent, the National Commissioner has already referred to the main policy directions and policy drivers in terms of the vote police. The first one is a reference to the medium-term budget policy statement and the medium-term strategic framework and the President's State of the Nation address. Priorities set out in this regard related to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 big priorities in South African society. of which one is the intensifying the fight against crime, and as a reference point, it is important to acknowledge that. The second one is a reiteration of what the President and the Minister of Finance said, and therefore to repeat it is not necessary at this point, except to say that both prominent persons referred to policing and the capacity of detectives and personnel as a very, very important aspect, and of which the police should comply with in terms of their spending priorities. In summary, one can therefore say, and that is slide number 30, it's a continuation of expanding personnel capacity in specific areas such as investigative capacity, detective analysts, and crime intelligence, with a focus-driven recruitment drives. Intensifying technology focus such as the CGS review, IGS modernization, and hosting network upgrades, and then also enhancing information and technology systems and processes. Then obviously with all this kind of personnel, we have to train them and develop people. Developing human capital and skills is thus a very important priority of the South African police. Improving physical building infrastructure, obviously a golden thread that runs through top policy documents up to departmental level. Capacitating of special investigations, the DPCI, in this regard. If we then go to the overall budget allocation, a graphical illustration has been included in the presentation in order to indicate to members visually the growth over years, starting in 2009-10 and moving up to the outer years of the MTF 2013-14, with a growth from 47.7 billion to 66.7 billion. Now, in essence, or in broad terms, what did contribute to the growth in the annual allocation of the South African Police Service, or to be technically correct, Vote Police? The budget growth, and an indication will be found in slide number 32, nominal growth from 2009-10, 47.6 billion to 2013-14, the outer year of the MTF, 66.6 billion, is a 19.034 billion increase, reflecting a 39.9% increase. The average annual nominal growth per year over the medium term from 2010-11 is expected to be 7.6%. Still quite credible. The strong growth over time, if one look at those cylinders, mainly reflects employment of personnel, in fact large numbers of personnel, conditions of service, salary increases and other increases in benefits, capital infrastructure growth, and then technology modernization, obviously of which the whole CGS, IGS environment is the most important aspect. In the next slide, members of this committee will find additions to the previous MTF cycle. Now, it reflects slide number 33. The first column there, the first line item there, is the previous MTF baseline, the 2010 ENE baseline, increasing from 56 billion to 60 billion to 63 billion. Then the whole MTF process took place, departmental priorities, interaction, Minister's Committee on the Budget, Cabinet, and today we sit before the Parliamentary Committee, which reflect in the following. Funds for additional policing personnel, 100, 400, and 1.6 billion. Tactical response teams to be established. We did not receive money in year one, in year naught. In year one, we received 30 million, and the outer year, 40 million. Municipal charges, adjustment especially of the baselines in this regard, 170 million, 218 million, and 262 million. Compensation of employees, these are the carry-through costs of the cost of living, in other words, salary increases in the 2010-11 financial year, the current financial year. The carry-through of those increases for the next 3 years are 1.2 billion, 1.374 billion, and 1.4243 billion. The last item for which additional funds were received reflect crime intelligence capacity, nothing in the coming financial year, but then 30 and 40 million in subsequent financial years. In this model, a baseline efficiency saving was also introduced across government. The share of the police contribution of funds back to the exchequer was 350 million, 366 and 381 million. So the net additional allocated on the previous E&E baselines were 1.144 billion, 1.686 billion and 2.984 billion. These were the additional allocations that were received on top of the 2010 E&E baseline. The next slide reflects the broad overall programs. Now, we've included it, and obviously the department and committee members will go much more into depth into these programs and be inquisitive about it. This is merely a broad overview to indicate to members on a summarized level the growth rates and the number of programs, so to speak. Under Program 1, Administration, one would see there that is an 18 billion 2010-2011 baseline, which will increase to 20.2 billion. It's 11.9% increase. To a large extent, is the whole network environment, CJS environment, IJS environment, and also capital or property environment. Then visible policing, a significant portion in the vote, 23.2 billion, moving up to 24.3 billion, a 5%, 4.9% increase. It's a normal increase and reflect to a large extent entry-level constables and include matters such as holding facilities, reservists, and then also ports of entry and other aspects. The shift, Madam Chairperson, of rail policing and ports of entry to this program will be referred to specifically in the first slide just behind the set, or just after the set, regarding administration and visible policing tomorrow morning. In essence, two new functions were added to this program, ports of entry and railway policing. Detective services. This is a very important environment currently in the whole criminal justice environment, and significant enhancements and funding are applicable to this program. In terms of the whole station and general detective environments, capacity increase in terms of personnel specifically has been a significant attribute in recent years and will also continue to be a specific priority in the 2011-2012 financial year. Then secondly, the newly established DPCI has also been included in this, I think from last year when the function was transferred to the SAPS, and is resourced to a highly credible extent. Then also the CJS revamp environment receive discernible attention under this program, and then also additional members, especially at the FSLCRC environments. So this is a very, very important environment in the vote police, and significant resources will be flowing in this regard. The crime intelligence environment, as we've said, the crime intelligence environment will increase by 8.7% and reflect an overall increase in capacity in the personnel sense of the word, as well as other operational expenses. Members must also remember that in year 2 and year 3, the second year and the third year, 30 million in addition and 40 million in addition will be added to this environment. Then the protection and security services environment. The protection and security services environment has a growth of 8.5% and is mainly as a result of conditions, cost of living increases regarding members. members are, or it's indicated to members that the main spending items are the following. Obviously, compensation of employees, and we're talking about a 71% compensation level in terms of weight. Then the second one, goods and services, and the goods and services reflects a very healthy increase of 13.5% year on year in this regard as well. The third, and subdivided into a fourth environment, square item, is the payments for capital assets. Here is basically what the following broad split: buildings and other fixed structures, and then also machinery and equipment, of which the vehicle fleet is but one in that environment. This is the economic classification and reflects the goods and services to be purchased in order to fulfill the functions as indicated in your program structure. It has been deemed appropriate, as usual, to always indicate to members of the committee the compensation environment, as the compensation environment reflects 71% of the total budget of the vote pulleys. It is important that we also note broad categories in this regard. The first category is the wage bill, which includes the salary, pension, bonus, cost of living, etc., to the value of 30.7 billion. The second important aspect is enlistments, 2.4 billion. That's new enlistments and people already on the trainee program, which will move over to second and third phases with translations and associated increases in remuneration. The overtime environment, 381.9 million in this regard. The rental allowance, 1.3 billion in this regard. And then medical schemes, 4.9, basically Pormed and GEMS. Scarce tools and promotions, 359 million, which brings us to a total of 41.070 billion of, in terms of the total allocation for the vote SAPS. That reflects 71% of the allocation. Now, Chairperson, if I may, excuse me, we are now getting to the stage where we're dipping and delving a bit deeper into the program structure. The first program being Program 1, Administration. And members are please asked to move to program to slide number 38. If we look at and consider slide number 38, one would immediately see that there are four sub-programs, of which corporate services, 15.9 billion, is the biggest. Now, in the narrative, in the text, the note to the figures, the following is stated. Management also includes a provision for the civilian secretariat for police. Corporate services consist inter alia of human resource development, 1.4 billion, technology management services, 3.6 billion, which include capital works, and supply chain technology management services, which include CJA, sorry, and supply chain management, 3.4 billion, of which 1.235 billion is for capital works. Personnel services, 1 billion, human resource utilization, that is the old career management, just a new name for it, 187 million, and financial services, 570 million. What are the main strategic focus in this regard? Intensified funding levels, especially for the CJS revamp initiative, under this program, 1.1 billion, IJS projects, 281.6 million, and the hosting and network infrastructure upgrade, 628 million, within the TMS environment, and then also office accommodation. Office accommodation is now another word as described by the Treasury for the old devolved functions. So that is a term that we basically all have to use. It's office accommodation. It's all the devolved budgets, previously devolved budgets from PWD. Leases, municipal charges, rates and taxes, and so forth. 2.536 billion within the property environment. This, Madam Chair, is basically the detail of this specific program. Obviously, the different environments will now start presenting personnel management to present on the personnel management aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and morning to the honorable members of the committee. My focal area will be on personnel management, starting on slide number 40, with the graphic representation of how we have progressed towards the achievement of our enlistment targets. Starting from March 2002, currently we are on 190,199, and they're moving towards the target of 197,930 by March 2012. By the end of the cycle, which will be March 2004, we would have reached a target of 202,260. Moving on to the next slide. Since 2003 financial year up to 2011, already 76,310 additional personnel appointed, apart from 38,000 replacements as well, which represents a 64.24% increase. The appointment of a new enlistment over the medium-term period is planned to total a plus minus 22,000, comprising of 7,620 in financial year 2011-2012, 6,750 in financial year 2012 and 2013, as well as 7,580 in financial year 2013 to 2014. Also taking into account personnel losses that we incur along the way. The growth, therefore, from 2002-2003 financial year up to 2013 and 2014 is anticipated to reflect 83,260 new personnel, apart from the plus minus 53,000 replacements as well, which constitutes a 70% increase. Moving on to the operational priorities on slide number 42, the replacements to be effected to maintain existing personnel levels. The target for the establishment by 31 March 2012 is 197,930. The projected allocations for financial year 2011-2012 are as follows. For entry-level Police Act members, the total is 6,648, and for entry-level Public Service Act employees, the total is 1,452. On the next slide, number 43, the quality emphasis within the recruitment process is that there is a revision of the recruitment strategy in order to ensure and facilitate community-based approach, which includes consultation with community structures, such as community policing forums, religious bodies and churches, schools, as well as relevant NGOs, etc. Also, the increase in the stipends for entry-level constables from 1,600 rands per month to 3,175,000 rands per month in order to attract and retain better quality applicants. We are also ensuring that there is a testing of those members that we are enlisting to ensure that they do not have criminal records. Perhaps vetting is a strong word, but we do subject them to a system of determining whether they have or have no criminal record. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll now hand over to my colleague who will present on the human resource utilization, Lieutenant General Mbekele. Oh, sorry, I've been corrected. It's actually Brigadier Hrisel.
Madam Chair, maybe I should have apologized for Lieutenant General Nchwe, who is doing other work, had the Brigadier who is presenting on this one.
honourable members. I will be presenting on slide number 45 on the operational priorities. We will maintain a workforce of 98% in terms of the approved establishment. We will capacitate specialised environments in relation to the HR capacity, the special reference given to detective services, the criminal record centre, forensics and crime intelligence. We will implement a new KPA-based generic assessment framework for the senior management service. We will enforce compliance to the DPSA prescripts in relation to the finalisation of performance agreements by 30 May 2011. Non-compliant senior managers will be excluded from salary increases, incentive processes and pay progression. We will entrench procedures by means of orders to confirm compliance and adhere to the performance management system. It will remain a focus area this year. Career pathing framework and career streams have in principle been agreed to by the management forum of the African Police Service and is in the process of being developed. I'll now hand over to Lieutenant Jerome Bakela, who will deal with slide number 47.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My presentation will focus on the SAPS Training Provisioning Plan. And there's a typographical error there in your packs. It is for 2011-2012, not 2010-2011. The priority in terms of the TPP of the SAPS is the detective training. The courses, you can proceed to the first slide. The total number of courses that we're going to be presenting this year is 6,807, and the trainees who are the learners will be 152,137 in total, of attendance. Now, the detective training, if we look at the detective training as a priority, it will be taking place in three different categories. We have the basic course, which is a two-week basic investigative course, a preparatory course, and orientation for all detectives before they can actually proceed to the next training, which is a one-year training. Then we'll be having 2,536 recipients going through that training. Then we have the resolving of crime, the duration of which is 1 year, which is going to be taking 1,384, members that have already gone, through the two-week basic training course. Then the specialized detective courses, such as basic fraud investigation courses, firearm investigation courses. Then under that one, we will be having 2,154 trainees going through that one. And then we have the short interventions, which are the short, courses that are presented in order to sharpen the skills, of the detectives from time to time, like statement taking, interviewing, and interrogation. I want the committee to take note of the fact that the 1,384, under resolving of crime, will reduce the backlog of 4,845. We are taking from that backlog. And the remaining 3,461 will be addressed over the next 2 financial years. Then if we go to the other priorities, we look at the client or customer service development, of which will comprise of 7,831 learners. There we're talking about 10,111 of the frontline offices that are there. We're talking about the professional frontline and customer service training, those kinds of trainings. In total, 7,831 learners are going to be going through that kind of training. Then we also have the victim support training that will be taking place. And when we're talking victim support, victim empowerment programs, children and youth at risk, human rights and policing, beneficiaries thereof in terms of learners or trainees
will be 3,820. Then if we go to the violence against women and children, and we are, I mean, we'll be specific there with special reference to the new acts, the Child Justice, I mean, Act. We're talking about vulnerable children. We're talking about children, I mean, and youth at risk again. Those, I mean, beneficiaries there will be 9,999 in terms of attendance, I mean, of the people there. Moving to the other priorities for this financial year, we've got the ABET, which is also going to form part, I mean, of our important training. We've got the basic training in our academies, where, I mean, where we train the entry-level recruits. Then we have the basic training forensic science learnership, which is also taking place in one of our academies. Then we have the basic training resolving of crime, which is a course that is taking place in one of the academies, Graaf Reinet in particular, where we are housing 350, I mean, we'll be housing 350 learners. Then we'll be having forensic services training, which, I mean, is funded from the criminal justice, I mean, system project, that one in particular. Demand management, fitness and wellness, K53 driving, with all the beneficiaries as learners that are indicated on the right-hand side of the column. The emergency care project, the peacekeeping project, I mean, the performance chart, the reskilling of the warrant officers, the development of station commanders, the tactical response, development team. And if we continue, I mean, with that, with those nationally coordinated programs, the criminal record and forensic science development, those are programs that are in that environment, I mean, in totality. The crime intelligence development programs with those, recipients, the protection and public order development, support and generic development of members in the organization, tactical and firearm development, visible policing development, such as crime prevention level one, those programs, will fall under visible policing. But in addition to that, Chairperson, heeding the call of the National Skills Development Strategy number 3 in the country, which is the government initiative in terms of skilling people, we have learnership skills programs and internships that we'll also be implementing, accelerated artisan training program for upgrading our artisans within the sub-garages, information technology system learnership, N12 level 5, information technology systems N12 level 6, the media communications, the paralegal certificated N12 level 5, project management, for women as a skills program, public sector accounting for all members that are working in the financial environment, supervisory skills, generic leadership and management, designated program, fixed wing training project, then recognition of prior learning implementation for the national certificate in resolving of crime as well. Then the competency-based modular training, which is also an artisan training program for semi-skilled apprentices, will be taking 15. Internal auditing skills development internal audit forensic investigation also, development. Well, if we look at that one, you will see the numbers are very low. It is because of the nature of the training in those environments that warrants it to take few numbers. Assessor training, 500. Moderator training, will be taking 100. In addition to that, it will also be, in terms of the National Skills Development Strategy, members of the public, especially the unemployed youth, in autotronics, level 1, in automotive maintenance and repair level 4, that is mechanical training, the bridging programs in math and science for the youth, the life skills for graduates seeking employment, that is also coordinated with the DPSA as well as internship rate, I mean, training, which is giving workplace training, I mean, for unemployed youth in the country. If we go to management and leadership development programs within the organization, we will be giving basic management program level one, that, I mean, 470, that is meant for the constables, the level of the constables, level one, which is a 5-day duration program. The basic management program level two, which is a 4-week duration program, which is meant for the surgeons, I mean, that one. Then the junior management learning program, which is, 670, which is meant for the warrant officers, I mean, mainly, as well as the, I mean, as the captains. The middle management learning program for the lieutenant colonels and the colonels, I mean, 554. The executive development program, which is meant for the brigadiers and the major generals in the organization. The executive national security program, which is run by the Department of Defense, but I mean, we send people, I mean at a given time. Then also the executive learning development program, which is meant in terms of our cooperation or our assistance that we are rendering to Sudan. Then in terms of international training support, chairperson, we are having a lot of training as well that is going to be coming from the USA, which is being offered by the USA to the SAPS members, and we'll have beneficiaries of 192 learners that will be participating, I mean, in different programs. We also have the Southern African Regional, Police Chiefs Cooperation as well. Those countries that we are also assisting in terms of training, like Botswana, like Namibia, I mean, etc. So there will be training, as it has been identified by the Regional Bureau, in terms of what South Africa will be giving to those particular countries. And there will also be training that is going to be offered by the French for the South African Police Service. But some of them have not yet been, I mean, identified. Then curriculum development. In terms of curriculum development, we have family violence, child protection and sexual offenses program that is going to be developed during this financial year. Supply chain management and asset management, that is another program to be developed. Special task force, I mean, for rural, urban, and parachuting, that is still going to be developed. Civil aviation learning program is going to be developed. Intelligence commander learning program is going to be developed. The e-learning firearm permit system to be developed. The anti-corruption program to be developed. The last three, chairperson, an impact study was conducted, and therefore they are due for review. The detective commander learning program, the junior management learning program, the middle management learning program. All those are going to be reviewed during this financial year. Thank you, chairperson. I will hand over to supply chain.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair, honourable members. I will start with the issue of the firearm strategy. The first issue is the firearms to be ordered by certification of individual firearms biannually. This will be done to reduce time frame for detecting loss of firearms. Also to ensure we are better recording on the asset register of all our firearms, and also to increase detection of firearms that are lost and has not yet been reported. We are presently finalizing the second cycle for the financial year 10-11 at the end of this month. We also improved data integrity of the asset register and sent clear guidelines to all commanders to conduct inspections during morning parades. The second part of the study was the issue of the marking of the firearms. We use the dot pin marking of firearms on specific areas of firearms. If any of these markings have been removed, The South African police service will be able to identify the firearms as a SAPS firearm. The critical thing about this is the depth that the serial numbers, the logo, and the barcode has been etched into the firearm to ensure that even if they fire it off, ballistic etching will be much easier to identify the firearm. The SAPS logo is a unique logo developed specific for this scenario. The barcode.pin on the firearm is generated by the firearm's permit systems, which is recorded on the Central Provision Administration System. This number is uniquely associated with the barcode and is further supported by the identification of the firearms. Presently, we have .pin 162 out of the 162, 630 out of 264, 845 firearms in the police. And our intention by the end of the financial year to have them all marked. That's just a picture. I think we did show it in the previous presentation a few weeks ago to the. Continuing on the strategy, the third part of the strategy is to have an integrated ballistic identification system, the IBIS testing of all SAPS firearms. This will further identify SAPS firearms even if the identification marks have been removed. All firearms that have been secondly stolen as lost will be identified through that process if it's been filed off the identification marks. Also, linking of state firearms used in criminal use, if we pick up in a criminal case, cartridges, we'll be able to link it if it's a SAPS firearm. The last part is to ensure all surplus firearms to be stockpiled only at SAPS headquarters at Supply Chain Management Armory. The assessment on the number of SAPS firearms profiled on IBIS. The firearm profile is based on the involvement in shootings. New firearms profile before issue. And then all recovered firearms will also be tested. We're presently creating the capacity of supply chain management conduction with FSL to focus on SAP firearms to relieve FSL to continue with the criminal firearms. Continuous process of firearms being profiled on the IBIS. And new all firearms test fired for IBIS testing will be issued to members or to any store. The other part of that is to reduce the number of SAP firearms stock. We have now, through the standardization board, standardized all firearms by police official. It becomes more cost-effective, also better for training. We did no procurement of additional firearms in this financial year. And we will only procure replacements in the new financial year. The procurement will only be for new recruits. And these will be issued in the personal issue 108 after they've been declared competent by Division HRD. As I said, no new firearms were procured in this financial year. The estimate of 66 firearms were procured for this financial year for new recruits. Criteria based on the increased personnel in terms of new recruits and the replacement of unserviceable firearms. We're also picking up that the high volume of the firearms, because of the high volume of shooting practice as well as shooting for firearm proficiency, places greater strain on the firearms. And more of them becoming unserviceable. On the issue of SAPS firearms lost and stolen, as we indicated last time, we instituted a board of inquiry approved by the National Commissioner. The purpose and the function of the board of inquiry will focus on the following matters and make recommendations on how to improve the overall management and administration of official firearms and losses, the status on disciplinary cases of the officers and members who lost official firearms, the status of firearm losses, the status of the case dockets of firearms that were reported lost, the status of circulation of official firearms at Central Firearm Registry, the management of official firearms in the self-checking stores, status of the implementation of the firearm permit system, and the status of the unfit declaration of members. I can say this board has started their work. They started the top 10 stations in Gauteng with the most losses. And they will submit a report by the end of April on those top 10 stations in terms of how we can go forward on this matter. Furthermore, the policy on recovered state-owned assets issued to members implemented. Yes, the key focus remains when people go on pension or retire, the system will now automatically indicate to people at finance or HRM who process these things that this member still has a firearm, and it will ensure that no one leaves the service before handing back his firearm. We go on to the next issue, is bullet resistant vest, BRVs, more commonly known as bulletproof vest. If the chairperson remembers, in October when we came here, we had a challenge in terms of how much bulletproof vest we had. We were not sure about the number. We indicated that we were putting the process to identify it. We have developed a whole life cycle process for bulletproof vests now. We have a unique serial number allocated to every bulletproof vest. The mark is to improve identification, location, and custodianship, so we'll be able to identify the vest through a unique number and to a personal number or to a store number, so we know where all the vests are. Inspections conducted to ensure that bulletproof vests are in our inventory correctly in relation to items, identification, condition, and location in terms of the life cycle process. By means of inspection of internal audit, AG, and performance management, parades is stock taking, and the handover of command. The marking of new bulletproof vests by manufacturers will be implemented in the new financial year when we have established a new contract. Bulletproofs are also certified by ANI when we do firearms, to ensure correctness and to pick up losses in that process. An investigation is currently conducted on the most suitable method of radio frequency identification technology of bullet press for future implementation together with technology management. This is an indication of how we've marked it presently. Chair, presently when we came in October, the system was indicated at 215, 124 vests. We can confirm now that we have on the system 208, 769 vests in the month of March. 196, 192 at the 28th of February have been marked. 4,214 have been disposed of through the disposal process itself. Old or not be able to use. Presently, we have 2,141, and I'm told him today that another 1,000 of them have been found. We're in the process, by the end of the month, we're supposed to finalize this process. So the one still under dispute is 2,141, which we hope by the end of this financial year to have finalized in terms of this process. This is just an indication, Chair, of the bulletproof vests in each province. How many have been expected? Problems are moving. I think the movement is going much quicker now. And we hope by the end of this week to have finalized all this marking. The next issue is the issue of vehicles. The first key issue is their service and maintenance of the garages. Chairperson, we have found many of the mechanics don't have qualification in the garage as we presented here in October. We have, together with HRD, now put them on learnerships to ensure that those people who have been working for 15, 20 years in the garage get their qualifications so they can become qualified mechanics and get appropriate salaries for those places. So we have put them all in the process of learnerships in terms of ensuring they qualify as mechanics. We have stopped all contract workers. The Midway 2 has been stopped in the garages. A project charter was launched in October 2010 for the optimization of SAP's garages. We also have an initiative on motor manufacturer dealership locator on an internal system. This will ensure a garage will know where the closest Toyota dealer is, or Nissan dealer, or whatever dealer they deal with, to where they can take their cars to assist them in that process. A total of 234 art and stores were advertised nationally, and they've been pulled at the present moment. We also have arranged with all motor brand dealers where we buy cars from to give product training to our members, so they can not only be qualified as artisans, but also be specialized in a particular type of vehicle which we buy. We have 41 apprentices currently being trained, and they will qualify if all things go well in this year. On the next issue is issue of suitability and issuing criteria. Criteria have been developed to ensure vehicles fit the environment and function where it's needed. Initially, we were only dealing with the issue of numbers. We've now included the issue of suitability. And I think on our visit to the province of the National Commission, we found that many problems, inappropriate cars in inappropriate in areas, so we're working on the issue of suitability in this financial year, make sure we get the right cars at the right places, not only the right numbers. We'll also take into account that we want to separate the type different type of environment. We think people in CSC and detectives or the dog unit, etc., will need different ratios of vehicles, so we develop the suitability ratio for all those separate units. The asset ratio is advanced for optimization of vehicle purchasing and distribution. The asset ratio is continuously updated for all users, and the data is verified. So we now can say where every vehicle is based on the asset register system itself. All vehicles are allocated in terms of the vehicle fleet asset register and in terms of predetermining criteria. Although provincial commissions based on need in terms of crime can move this vehicle in terms of that, and they have to inform us about that. Chairperson, we've also instituted a pilot project at our garages to try to improve the quality of our services at garages. Previously, the measurement was focused on finalized job cards, and many of these job cards were outsourced jobs, so it was very difficult to measure the productivity of the garages themselves. This indicated approximately a 6-day turnaround in terms of damage and accidents and 2 days for service and repairs. We've developed a new system on our workshop system, which is the official system of the garages, so we can monitor and get proper data on that. All the first thing now we will start measuring in terms of a delivery seat of a vehicle to a garage, so we'll know exactly when the vehicle comes there, everyone will get a receipt. We also have new commodity measurements of impairment to measure time duration for service later on. We separated in terms of maintenance and damage. At maintenance at such garages, this will include services, where we'll have a specific time frame in terms of 1 day for turnaround for cars that goes into services. And then for repairs like gearboxes or other mechanical problems, they will be measured on a different measurement so we can have a better turnaround time in terms of that. We've also ensured to assist the garages all new vehicles procured in this past financial year at planned maintenance or service plans to reduce the burden of garages to 100,000. So the vehicles purchased in this financial year don't have to go to the garages for the first 100,000. They can go direct to the dealerships which we have a service contract with them. Then on the issue of damages, damages less than 50,000 will be dealt by our internal garages or panel beating shops. All other damage higher than that will have to be outsourced in terms to ensure that we can maintain the turnaround time of the vehicles. We are busy, and at the end of this month we would have established a baseline from which we can start measuring the garages. We've taken the first 3 months of this year, and as from the new financial year, we'll be able to measure them against the baseline which we've developed. The next thing issue of vehicles is the installation of AVLs. Chair, I can say since October when we were here last, we have purchased 4,400 AVLs and fitted them into the vehicles. The supply, I think the first time we've ordered so much AVLs, and the supplier could not keep up with the demand from our side. We are awaiting delivery of 7,000 units which we've placed in order to deal with fix the backlog completely. We also ensured system migration to the version 6, which is a better and gives better management information. By the end of this month, all the promises will be on the new version of the AVL. We ensured capacity, personnel and equipment at provinces and at clusters to monitor the AVL. In 2011-2012 strategy, all vehicles procured by SAFS will be fitted with the AVL before distribution. Our patient ratio, or personal to vehicle ratio, is 4.56.1 for this financial year. Just the indicators of the funds for capital works and devolve funds. As we will see in the maintenance and property rates, we will have an increase of 21.3%. On municipal services, we have a big increase for this. We have in big overruns, we don't have sufficient money to pay our municipal rates, and we managed to get some treasury for 29.7% increase. On property leases, we got 4.8%. And on our capital works program itself, we got a 10.5%, which is quite substantial, ensure that we can achieve the target set by the National Commission. And then lastly, on day-to-day maintenance projects over for 30,000 in the case, which is at the station level, we had a 6.1 increase. And as we can see in the years rolling further, we'll have further increases of 2014. Just to give a explanation of the funds evolved since 06-07 financial year. Maintenance and property rates, the user charges, rental system was introduced. All planned maintenance to be performed at PW on all non-functional accommodation, that means which is not police stations, and we pay them on a quarterly basis based on invoices. The municipal services, SAPs have opted at this stage to continue to allow DPW to perform the function at the 5% management fee, and the payments on cost recovery basis on a monthly invoices. Property leases remains DPW responsibility, and here we pay on a quarterly basis. On the capital works, we have a joint responsible placement store on DPW and SAPs to perform execution of projects, and here payments on the cost recovery aspect of actual expenditure monthly and expenditure against budget, our own resources. Some of the policy decisions on capital were projects since we were last year. The first decision we've taken around this issue is that previously people went on site before plans were in place. We said that construction will only commence once all planning and clearances are in place. So we will not go on site until everything has been finalized. No scope changes will be allowed after the sketch plans have been approved, preventing scope creep, where we started projects at 20 million and ended at 40 million because of those challenges. The monitoring and evaluation of quarterly in year adjustments to budgets and allocations to improve cash flow. We also, and I think when we had a meeting with the minister, he also indicated that the thinking is to build up more but smaller police stations so we can go more to the rural areas. We will, in the 1st of April, appoint 6 project managers. They were advertised and the interviews have taken place to increase our capacity to monitor our projects. In terms of our strategic plan and this year's program, we have 11 new police facilities, 8 re-established police facilities, 4 newly re-established police facilities, and repair and upgrade. We're sticking to that for now in terms of the strategic plan, 5-year plan. Chairperson, just to give indication of the projects which were on our office last year. As I indicated when you were last week here, that the 9 projects which were in the strategic plan were completed the year before, which left us with 33 projects. Out of those projects, 14 are completed, 100% completed. Then we have in Mora, Deep Sloot. It's been placed in Mora. The case is in court, the public works and the contractor. In Bergville, which is also 90% almost basically finished, also been placed in Mora with DPW. In Pretoria West Operation Unit, we were 80% complete as a PWB. The contract has been cancelled, which means they can now appoint a new contractor there to complete that job, which we also think will be finished in the new year. Schweefontein Police Station, Komislango. Yeah, the contract has also been cancelled, and they're going to appoint a new contractor there. In Amelia Police Station, the project has been stopped. There's discussions with Public Works and the contractor. The feeling is from Public Works is it will be cheaper for them to try to discuss with the contractor to continue with the project and see if they can assist him to continue the project than to appoint a new contractor. The other project is Blue Dance Police Station. The only thing missing there is the lift still. The lift, the tender process has been completed last year, and we expect delivery in the next month or two in that place. Durban North Police Station just needs snags and final touch-ups, which are also to be finished in the first 2 months of next year, I think. Chatsworth Police Station, the same, on 99. Kuruman LCRC, the same. Benoni College is on 95. It's also just not much work to be done to complete that. And likewise, Joburton Police Station. The Tetele Police Station, which is on 70%. This is a project with supply chain itself. And we will complete this project in this financial year. We were on about 50% when we started in October, but we have managed to get the project up and running, and it's running quite well. We will now complete the project in this year. Bishu, we will complete in June. It's also a project of supply chain. We managed to pick up the pieces there, and the project is running quite well now. Same with Lady Frere, Kalicha, Mount Road, which is almost completed itself. The Rosenblatt dog unit, there's still a lot of work to be done on that project, but the contractor is on site. And the supply chain, it's just snagging to finish the project, which we finish early next year. Kimberley Archives will also complete in July, August, this financial year. Chair, just to say, most of these projects were on less than 50% when we started in October. So I think the team has made progress, not as much as we want to. We will also put back a bit of the rain over a certain period in there. But we are committed to finish all these projects in the first quarter of this financial year. Further policy decisions were taken on SEPS Building Services. They will no longer construct large capital works. The existing project, as I said, are being finalized. Or where we could, we handed over to local subcontractors itself, local people in the area. Building Services to focus on smaller projects, land maintenance, ramps for disabled, and emergency interventions. We have in the last three, four months got them to do that, and we have a lot of success around them doing those smaller maintenance projects. We've instituted a project control center, and it's really increased our control and knowing exactly where we are with all the projects, and we're tracking the progress of the project quite well through the center, which meets on a daily basis and gives the management feedback. To fast-track projects, we also established cross-functional teams of senior members, consisting of the architects, engineers, acquisition, demand, and building services. So every project is starting with a cross-functional team, and no individual goes onto site without the team agreeing on the approach. The management, the National Commission and SEPS management have discussed the strategic plan. And it was very clear to us after we got instruction from the President and the Minister that we need to focus more on rural areas itself. We're in the process of reviewing the last 3 years of our strategic plan. And we've done quite a lot of consultation with all the provinces. We've also spoken to various people in the built environment on what is possible around these issues. We have identified some, and still in the process of identifying some tribal land. The National Commission is in the process of speaking to chiefs to try to see if we can speed up the process. The intention is into the last 3 years of the next year to include 30 rural stations in those areas. We're drafting specifications for those smaller stations from inspector to captain. We're busy with the specifications. We're also busy with the public interest proposals for alternative betterments to speed up service delivery. We want to see if there are other alternative ways to ensure that we do deliver on the promises of the President to take stations to rural areas. The funding process is for priority. We will scale down on some bigger stations in urban areas and use that money to reprioritize our bullying program where necessary. But based on our initial planning, we think we can deliver 30 rural stations in the last 3 years of the plan. But we are in the process, and we're going to go in strategic session soon to finalize that plan with the management and National Commissioner. We want to focus on improve access to the police for physical challenges and victims of crime. For this financial year, we will build 107 ramps on the devolved stations. Just to say, Chairperson, in the last 3-4 months, we have managed to build 84 ramps through our building services. We've sent them out, developed plans, and they've made a huge impact in a very short time of 84. Something we've been struggling for the last 5 years to build the ramps. We even took those ramps which were at public works, and they gave us permission to do it ourselves, which we managed to do in this financial year. We have put a term contract in place for park homes, so we can customize for victim support at police facilities. And the target given to us for West Port for this year is 79. We will deliver on the 79 for them. Then we want to optimally utilize the issue of leased buildings. We're looking at open plan and other methods to ensure that we keep control of the leased facilities and our expenditure there. And then we still have the outstanding issue of finalizing the agreement of the SL between ourselves and PTW. We have finalized our part. We're just waiting for the DG. We had discussions with them. They're just waiting for their DG to sign off on their part. Then we have repair and renovations to the original state. These are evolved stations, which we are responsible for in the police, 271. These are the number of stations which we intend doing this financial year. We can see Gauteng has got zero, but they only have 4 devolved stations, and those 4 were done in this past financial year by us. So those 4 were done already. Northwest also only has 4 devolved stations, and that 4 was already done in this financial year. Next, we want to ensure bulk services. I think, again, going around to stations with the National Commission and the Management, we discovered that there's a huge shortage of basic services where we've gone to. And this year, 14 stations will be provided with electricity generators, 51 police stations will be provided with water, and 85 stations to be assisted with sanitation. We have already started some of the processes in Mpumalanga where we bought water tanks, our own water tanks with our own drivers, so we don't have to be dependent on other departments to ensure that the water tanks are filled at the station when there's a shortage of supply of water. And we'll do the same in all other rural provinces in this year. And lastly, on acquisition management, we've consolidated the mechanism of the bid adjudication. We have now one committee. The improvement of procurement practice in relation to building projects. As we know, the SIU is busy investigating this process, though. But we have tightened up and we have better control in terms of how we procure in that environment. The cancellation of all labor broken contracts and employing of local labor and supporting of skills development in the communities. This is in place in the building environment. There are no more labor broken. In the air wing, there's no more labor broken. In the garage, there's no more labor broken. The present cleaning contract is coming to an end in the new financial year, and we're busy putting in process a process to employ all those members who are employed by the brokering company. Likewise, with the security company's contract. We're busy with market supply management enhancement. We're meeting with various suppliers, and want to continue to do that through all provinces. We also want to develop a model for incubator program suppliers and contractors, SMEs, to see if we can assist those people to acquire and gain the skills to tender and get contracts within the police. And then lastly, electronic quotation process for procurement and consulting with technology management. We already have the electronic tender process in place, and we just have to finalize the quotation process itself. And lastly, our key priorities, supply chain ownership of the sepsis in the management assets. This has not been the case. That's why we lacked our management information. We are now taking ownership of the information to ensure it's populated properly, that we can have proper information when we have to report on these things, and also plan better in terms of management. The implementation of the building project control system. We also going to have project managers which will sit in the system and help us better control our processes. Building data and system integrity is one of our key priorities to ensure that we know where we go and where we need to go to. And then the enhancements of management information center. I thank you. I'll hand over to my colleague, Lieutenant General Tabalala, TMS.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members of the committee. Just a brief background. The presentation I'm just about to give is an extract from the South African Police Service Technology Master Plan with a special focus on funded mandates for the book year 2011-2012. As reported last October, that within the South African Police Service we have plus minus 77 systems, and of those systems, the systems are serviced by the heart of this communication. It is Numeras and the 26 switching centers. What we have done, we have increased the megabytes between Numeras and all switching centers from 20 to 40 in preparation of the projects that I'm going to speak to. And we have increased the communication between the station and the switching centers from 64 kilobytes to 2 megabytes. If we go to the main focus area, which would be IGS, CGS, we would look at that sketch which appears to be busy. We have received a lot of money as an organization because SAPS is basically the initiator in this cluster, in that an incident occurs and SAPS would be reported and they will respond to it. Just below crime reporting and arrest, you see there are quite a number of systems that SAPS is responsible for. Some of those systems require some extensive upgrades. We talk about circulation system, APHIS, we talk about CRIM, we talk about CAS, and we talk about BI and GIS. The upgrades that are just going to follow are upgrades that are intended to improve the entire case management system. Case management system, which is summarized as the so-called e-docket. Because there's quite a substantial expenditure involved in this project, we thought we should name the project, talk around the project, and attach cost to the project. Let me start with the property control and exhibit management, what we call PICM. We basically started procuring resources for PICM in this financial year ending. Before PICM, there was IMS, or Exhibit Management System. IMS was a stopgap approach. I'm told that 500,000 rand was used to procure services just to make sure that evidence within the forensic science and laboratories does not disappear, it does not get lost. Out of that, because of the successes that we've seen, then PICM was conceived. But it was expanded to cover SAP 13 stores as well at all stations. To date, we could say that we have received all deliveries around PICM. We are almost 80% of deliveries we have received, and we are promised that they will start work before the 31st of this month to implement PICM. I'll also say that there's an undertaking that the FSL environment will be completely operational before the end of the coming financial year. It will be fully implemented. It will be in place. For PICM to be able to function, there will be additional things that we do in the coming financial year, such as we have to improve access control in all labs. We have to ensure that we put surveillance cameras and we put biometrics readers, and we have to ensure that we have scanners or for all computers that are working in the labs. The 42 million that we see allocated for 2011-2012, it is money that is basically dedicated for rolling out PICM to stations. And if we proceed to detention management, management of the police, we looked at detention management, we identified similarities between property control and exhibit management and detention management. As a result, we have assembled a team within TMS and various consultants that work for the South African Police Service to look at a possibility of expanding PCAM to avoid unnecessary duplication. So it is one area that is still being questioned. We'll be getting a report very soon and we'll take a firm decision as to whether we proceed or we integrate it as part, because PCAM deals with property and exhibits, and here we're talking with the person. And if we talk about the entire value chain of the case management system, we feel that we should not separate these things. Point number three, we are talking about the identity and access management system. Basically, this is time and attendance systems that we would install. For now, the focus area is still going to be around the forensic science and laboratory environment. Those would be then expenditures for the financial year 2011-2012, which comes to basically 3,565,000. Immediately after that, you have live scanners, standalone fingerprinting scanners. Also, this is a consignment destined for forensic science and laboratories. The money is reflected there. Action request for services, ARS. First line incident management, basically here it's system that is under, the specifications have been drawn up. The specifications are going to be finalized to the tune of this 3,600,000, and then immediately after that development will be 6, and then infrastructure required will be 4.7, and then maintenance, projected maintenance will be 358, and the total money budgeted in this financial year would then be that 14,870,000. This system is basically designed to speak to our response time in the main, our ability to respond on time and monitor and intervene if we are not happy about the responses. It has to do largely with what is supposed to happen with the AVL. It's part and parcel of AVL. It's a continuation of our desire to be able to track personnel on duty, vehicles on duty, and their response time from one incident to the other. The integrated case docket monitoring, ICMD administration, basically this would be your e-docket. On this one, as I reported last week, we are piloting this in Cullinan Police Station, and we have made an undertaking in management, at the management forum of the police, that before the end of the coming financial year, we intend to roll out e-docket completely to at least 20 stations, major stations. We're not talking small stations, mostly big, the biggest stations that generate the most crimes or that where crime is reported the most. Madam Chair, the intention here is to have the stations completely operational, have this some desktop at forensic science and laboratories. If there's exhibits and the reports are drawn up, the scientists that are working on those exhibits should be able to go into that docket and then input their findings. Once they've inputted their findings, the detective will then see the following day that this information has been sent, so it does not have to be transported. But there's also a third layer to explain the first slide, where we would like to pilot this by making sure that a similar desktop is found somewhere in some strategic regional National Prosecution Authority offices, where they can begin to monitor and track the case from its inception so that they can intervene, they can direct a detective. We are determined to make sure that this happens. We are determined to see this e-docket being rolled out into this 20 stations, and we should be able to report progress when we come back. If we look at the sub-service integration programs as sub-service integration programs, This would include internal subs integration programs, and it will include the entire JCPS cluster integration programs. And maybe to remind members of the committee, Madam Chair, that within SAPS we have what we call transversal teams. These transversal teams represent the members of the cluster itself. They participate in ensuring that all developments, all software and hardware developments that are taking place in SAPS, at the Correctional Services, at the National Prosecution Authority, they are going to be, we are going to be in a position to integrate them once they are fully fleshed, or they are fully operational. Program and architecture management. Basically, here we are talking about human capital. It would include the consultants that we procure, depending on the development that is required, depending on the specifications that we may want. Then we have a IJS transversal sub-program, comes to 52 million. But then immediately after that, we have some few notes explaining the various categories as stated above, where we speak of the requirement specification, development infrastructure, maintenance, and we have given a detailed explanation of what they stand for. Just to give a brief, a breakdown of the entire CJS allocation for 2011-2012. What we see there, first, the yellow section speaks to the integrated mobile vehicle command and control center. It covers both hardware and software. That's the money allocated for it. And then it's 483,677,000. And for forensic science laboratories, we have 381,322,000. And for criminal record center, we have 235,000,000. In the following slide, we basically break down the figures that are sitting in the pie chart for the CJS revamp. Mostly, this would be for forensic science laboratories. You have your biology section, generic IS and ICT requirements, ballistic section, chemistry, Western Cape, Bladikloof is a facility that is still under construction. We are told that it will be completed before October, and we should be able to start working, hopefully by December. It should begin doing what it was intended to do. And then the scientific analysis section, explosive section, questioned documents. And then if you go to criminal record center, you will then have those various replacements. One is to talk a little bit about APHIS, or the automated fingerprints. Here, there was quite an extensive debate within the management of the police. We have had APHIS for quite some time. We can only do 10,000 searches, 3,000 of the searches are basically in the hands of the private sector. And we were asking a question, do we go for a comprehensive upgrade or do we test the market? And testing the market might also mean that we must look at the possibility of increasing the number of searches that we require from 10 to 25,000 searches per day, and also make sure that we acquire a disaster recovery system, because currently we do not have the information that is sitting on APHIS. If it was to vanish, disappear, there is no disaster recovery. So the decision basically was, let's go out, let's test the market before we embark into this major upgrade. The integrated mobile vehicle data control center, IMVDCS, it was with CETA, it has been finalized, probably sitting with the recommendations committee of CETA. We are hoping to get feedback from them, and we will immediately start with the project in the beginning of the new financial year. Here we talk about National Network Upgrade Program, the NNUP, for 2011-2012. Maybe reporting for 2011-2012, it might be important to touch a little bit on 2010-2011. We are 100% committed in terms of the developments that we planned for 11 and 12. All vendors were on site, almost 100% of them, they have a complete. We are just processing payment. In the financial year 2011-2012, on your hosting upgrades, this year we're going to focus on LEN and WAN. On the hosting upgrades, we intend to spend 1,8,820,000, and Vodacom broadband core bandwidth recurring monthly cost is 24 million. We procured these services initially in June, just before the World Cup, and they were able to do it at the shortest possible space of time. We are in the process of concluding a 3-year contract with Vodacom to make sure that we maintain the service. And then the remainder of the funds dedicated to NNUP sites is 496,643,000. They are divided as follows. Information communication, ICT infrastructure for prioritized, excuse the spelling there, NNUP site 2011-2012, and then it's cabling for prioritized NNUP sites 2010, 2011, and 2012. We mentioned 2011-2012 on an accident, for example, Gauteng. Some of the projects will continue beyond 2011. Those would be the application made. Consolidated servers for prioritized NNUP. As we speak today, we have procured about 300 servers to complement the NNUP upgrades that were conducted for 2010-2011. They will be delivered. So that 15 million can be reported now that it will be reprioritized. Server software, these are licenses, basically the 6 million that is budgeted for. And then upgrade of access data line installation. It's for 4 million rand. Access data line recurring monthly cost is 109,500,000. Remaining requirements for 2011-2012. Madam Chair, it might be important to report on Tetra specifically, taking into consideration that we reported on it last October when we are here. The budget for 2011-2012 will be 226,984,000. In the financial year 2010-2011, we did not pay the vendor the 200 million that was budgeted for. The reason we could not pay is that the vendors were not in a position to give us the guarantee that is mandatory in terms of the contract, that if you get a contract of 920 million rand, you'll have to go to your bank, they must give you a guarantee of 92 million. So they've been struggling with this guarantee. As a result, the project froze. It froze. We can only pay for services rendered by this vendor. We are still in discussion with them. We'll make a determination at what point do we look or explore other avenues if they are not in a position to produce this piece of document. Going to CETA very quickly, we have met with the new executive of CETA. We have spoken to them. We have had some extensive discussion, and we undertook to embark in the coming months with a process of re-looking into the business agreement that we should have. And one of the aspects that we are going to look into is the must-have, the must, and the maize, where we look at what CETA must provide, what SAPS must procure via CETA, and what SAPS may procure via CETA to see if we can't secure some savings to divert this money elsewhere. We are going to be looking into the seven service level agreements that we have to negotiate with them. We are going to look at the possibilities, and this has been the decision, the possibilities of all consultants being paid probably directly by SAPS, even those that are CETA consultants but servicing only SAPS. challenges around tasking of those consultants at some point, where for tasking of a person sitting in an office, you have to go to CETA in the form of a letter, and the letter must come back to give the tasking to that person. But the actual person is paying for it if he's the South African Police Services. So we're looking at that. We are establishing a contract management office. A contract management office, if members of the committee remember when I reported the last time, it was Friday, I explained exactly what was happening in the technology environment. And we have made some changes, we have looked at various things, and we are trying to refocus and make sure that the work that we do, first and foremost, is informed by what is required by operational people on the ground. On payments, CETA, I just wanted to touch on this one. Just the issue of payment, we felt we need to raise it. To pay someone who has delivered something on the 31st, he must send his invoice to CETA. CETA must then invoice us, and then we must pay CETA. CETA must then pay this person. But the regulatory framework that is given by Treasury, we should be able, once the contract has been placed by CETA, to get an RFQ, request for quotation, identify the best possible supplier, cheaper, and then directly pay that person. That would be, in short, a summary of technology management services. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll hand over to Lieutenant General Rashad.
Thanks, Chairperson. With regard to inspectorate services, the entire annual plan of the service, part of which has already been presented and the other part will still be presented, forms the basis of the inspectorate services. On the basis of that, last year we have been able to do 580 inspections. Can we go to slide number 7, please? Of the administration program 1. Yes, that one. Yes. Yes, that slide is indicating the number of inspections that were done this year as the baseline for the number of inspections that will be done in the coming financial year. Those inspections are the minimum possible. It's not necessarily all the inspections that will be done. Those are just the minimum possible that can be able to be done. There is still capacity, as the chairperson has indicated, that it is important that as police we pay serious attention to whatever the committee founds or says or their concerns about the service. In fact, our wish is to be present wherever the committee is visiting the SAPS so that we don't just get the letter, but also the spirit of their concerns for it to be immediately action. So among other issues that guide the inspectorate to do its work is the comments and guidance from this committee, the Minister of Police, the National Commissioner, Provincial Commissioners, and additional commissioners, as they may from time to time, within the focus area and also outside the focus area of the inspectorate, request the inspectorate to do some particular work. Can we go back to that other slide, the one that we're looking at? Okay. you. Now, the key performance areas will be the one that are reflected there on that slide. Under service delivery, we have aspects like attendance to complaints, reaction time, domestic violence, quality of investigation, crime office, property management, meaning SAP 13 stores, the use of resources within the service, performance management, input versus output, and sector policy that would be under service delivery. The second focus area, risk area for fraud and corruption, will have the following as among others look at the following: procurement, bonds of survey, disposal of assets, vehicle claims for both middle and senior management, overtime claims, informal claims, the management of official firearms, loss of case docket, remuneration work outside the SAPS. The third key focus area about improving the data will be looking at closure of case dockets, registration of crime, capturing of leave, including non-registration or incorrect registration of crime. And fourthly, the area of having to minimize civil claims, where we shall be looking at custody management, unlawful arrest, and so forth and so on. Over and above that, there is a constant interaction between the inspectorate at national and at provincial level, where we focus at developing better systems of improving the inspection function. Thank you.
Madam Chair, that concludes the forecast kind of presentation by the South African Police Service.
Thank you very much. It's been a long one. I want to believe that members have a list of questions. Let me for now say that let's probably take a short tea break. There's tea outside. Ms. Kola Barnett loves me today. We are going to break for a time now. Is quarter to 12. Probably we'll break and come back here at 12:05. Then we are going to take questions from members.
Okay, bye-bye. Because you want to. No, because you will be punished. That's what I was
saying. Yeah. No,
if you want to be a producer, you'll be punished.
They offered more money and they offered working less hours. I was like, okay. 50% salary increase. I was like, yeah.
What? What? That's not bad.
Are you doing it for the money, or are you doing it because you want to produce?
I'm doing it for both.
You can be honest.
I would do it for the money and the less working hours.
I'm doing it for both the less working hours as well.
But that only would be enough.
Yeah, I would do it for the less hours.
Like I can still come to the reporting from time to time.
I mean, so if you give me 50% increase, and you give me less working hours, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, it's just doing it, but like filling in for Paula as well from time to time. Paula, because like we're going to be retreating now because like you know there's like shortage of people.
You're going to be retreating?
Not retreating, rotating.
Oh, I thought you were retreating.
Rotating people.
So you're going to win 8 to 5.
10 to 7:30.
Then in the morning?
Yes.
I would do anything to work a shift like that.
And then you work 14 days a month.
I hate waking up in the morning.
Does Daniel still come to the office at 4
o'clock?
10 to half.
Yes.
Why?
That's not that. Not that.
But it's so cool.
I would love to see you.
So you're going to be producing for a specific program?
No, the news is supposed to be.
So who are the reporters in the country now?
Kieran?
Yeah. Is Kieran you?
Yeah, Kieran Bokenbeer.
Yeah. Sorry,
Kieran Paula, Leslie Ann. Kieran, let's open the end.
And then what's going to be the party reporter?
I'm not sure.
Who's
this? How was the Zoom thing? How did it end?
No, it's not.
I have links to my Facebook.
I didn't believe it. I was saying it. How do you do that?
You have to go Uber thingy magic, and then click to your Facebook, and then stuff. It happens. It is an energy.
But my brother studied journalism, and now I'm getting SMS from his friends in his car. Do you see my Facebook email? And I don't like.
I accept that pretty much 90% of my friends are cars.
Because I've got hours of my kids. I'm very. I don't see the point of blocking people if you're going to see their friends.
We are supposed to drink tea, but they took it before we drank it. We're hoping that they're going to bring it as long as. In fact, when they bring it, we'll make members aware and all of us so that we can just go up out and grab the cup and come back. We are now going to allow members to ask questions. I will request Honorable Greg is number one down there. I will request members to at least limit themselves to a maximum of four questions at a time. We will come back to take our questions. So we are not going to have one round of questions. We're going to have more. We'll still come back here after lunch. So I will take hands from Honorable Greg, Honorable Ms. Kola Barnard, Honorable Angie, Honorable Swate, Honorable Annelise, Honorable Glove, in that order.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's quite strange sitting down here, but anyway. Feels like I'm in my own committee.
But Chair, in fact, Honorable Greg, I wonder if you should not sit this side in that chair. So that it's a continuation of members. I said, I think you're too far. Yes. But maybe you can ask questions where you're sitting and then move after asking questions.
No, thanks, Chair. I want to just touch on the ICT issues that were raised, were just presented to us now. And in the annual performance plan, and I'm looking at that document as well, it talks about, you know, 70% of projects will be completed. And I think that one of the things that would be helpful for us in dealing with this budget is what are those projects? Because I'm sure there are some projects that will be completed. There are other projects that won't be completed for particular reasons. It might be the type of project, et cetera. But if you look at the annual performance plan, if you look at the budget, et cetera, and if you even look at the presentation we've been given here, I'm not sure if those are all the actual projects that are going to be implemented in this current financial year. And I'm just saying I think it would be helpful if we were given a list of projects, we could be told what's the completion time. That helps us to also exercise our oversight. So that's my first question. In terms of this TETRA system, General Chabalala, when he was saying, he was presenting, he was saying that that one of the problems is this some guarantee or a guarantee that hasn't been provided. The question I'd like to ask around that is, should that not have been concluded when the tender was awarded? I imagine those are things that it should be looked at right at the beginning. Why is it that that's something that's still outstanding? Unless there's another reason, but if I could get some clarity on that. Then just just one more question, then I'll wait for the next round. In terms of where is his question? Yeah, in terms of vehicles, there's a budget of I think it's just over 1 billion. It talks about vehicle renewal or renewal of fleets or something like that. There again, it's just we just get given a not possible to tell us, you know, what that money is actually going to be used for. How many vehicles are we purchasing? Where are we actually sending these vehicles to? What are the types of vehicles, etc.? It helps us because, you know, one is very, it's been very difficult to actually monitor and oversee that. Then, just in touch with that, Chair, it will be my fourth question. I was quite interested to hear that with all vehicles, I think if I understood correctly, purchased in 2010, 2011, there's going to be these service and maintenance plans. Was, okay, in the last financial year. Is that something that's going to be ongoing? Because my question aligned to that is, by repairing vehicles through SAP's workshops, is that the most cost-effective method? And I think, you know, one of the things we've heard previously is the long delays it takes to repair these vehicles, etc. Just be interested to know whether we think that this is a better option and it's something that's going to be pursued by getting contracts with the suppliers of vehicles. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Could you please tell me how it is that some SAPS accounts are going unpaid? I've been sent examples from the area, for example, around Ladysmith, Escort, Burgville, Colenso, for work on SAPS vehicles. We're talking about 223 accounts that have gone unpaid. Some of them, I haven't opened all of them, but some of them go back as far as February last year. That's before the previous budget was approved. And it really is reaching a stage where service providers don't actually want to provide services to the SAPs because their accounts aren't paid. So I'd like to know what on earth is going on there. I believe it would probably fall under vehicle management. So I'd like an answer to that, please. I also want to know out of which program the annual police day is funded, and I want to know what it cost in total this year and what it cost in total last year. The wage bill, as you've informed us, represents 71% of the total allocation, and yet I want to know how it is that the SAPS is considered by the public protector to be one of the poorest, most chaotic entities when it comes to paying out pensions. They have actually had to set up a specific unit to deal with SAPS pensioners. There are over 2,000 of them still waiting for their pensions, on occasion up to 3 years. They lose their homes, they lose their vehicles, they lose everything because there is no pension paid out to them, despite the numbers of years they've dedicated to the SAPS. The whole system is in total chaos, and I want to know how on earth you've allowed this to happen and why you penalize people who retire from the SAPS in this manner. And then I'd like to know under which program the police reservists are sourced. It doesn't seem to be a specific line item. I don't know where to look. I never, in fact, ever hear anyone in the top structure referring to the reservists. It's very strange, especially, in fact, because of the fact that the minister is still working through the reservist policy. But there does seem to be a great deal going on behind the scenes because there are regulations that have been created that will be implemented on the 1st of April, which will basically wipe out about 70% of the reservists. We're talking about, I think it's about 40,000 people who give their time for nothing, although they were utilized enormously during the FIFA World Cup, and after they work certain hours, they are certainly remunerated in a small manner. But there does seem to be something of an attack on the reservists. There has been moratorium after moratorium. I gather another one's been implemented. I know that many of them having their bulletproofs and their firearms taken away. There is a move to demean them and diminish them to the extent that people no longer wish to be reservists. And this in the light of the fact that SAP's top management is forever saying to the citizens of South Africa, please do your bit to help us in the fight against crime. And yet when people go to the stations, they're turned away because they want to give their time for nothing. This business of saying you have to be employed throws out thousands of pensioners, thousands of unemployed women who are housewives who have spare time they donate to do books and things at the stations, and yet patently, SAPS doesn't want them. Well, if you want to shut them down, shut them down. But
don't dangle these people, don't treat them as pariahs, and it's really not right to ask citizens to give of their time and at the same time treat them in this manner that you actually, in a way, it's a constructive dismissal. Just go away. We don't actually want you at all. So please answer that and give me some answers to give to the dozens and dozens of people who've asked me why the SAPs don't want them to help while at the same time they're asking for their help. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Chairperson, my question is about this huge number, 152137, about the training. I just want to know if this is really achievable. My second question is on the bulletproof vest, to say, are they really user-friendly? When we visit the police stations, we find police who do not put on, or even just meeting them as they do their daily job, they don't have this bulletproof vest. And when we try and find out, they say they are heavy and so on. So my question is, are they really user-friendly? And on the infrastructure, I have my favorite police station, Hebron Police Station. It's not mentioned. I just want to know what is the status there. My last question is to General Tshabalala. You, in your explanation, you spoke of ethics, and you said something very worrying. I just want to ask you through the chairperson to repeat what you said so that I make sure that I understood you properly. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presenters before us today. I've got four questions to ask to the department. And my first question is with regard to the compliance with the Treasury regulations. I just want to find out, when you were doing your budget, did you consider all the loopholes that maybe you didn't actually comply with the previous instruction from the Treasury? With regard to your last annual performance plan, I just want to find out if you have complied this time, or are you correcting your mistake in the previous financial year? And my other question is with regard to the police stations that you actually given us the list of police stations that you have completed and the ones that you have not completed. I just also want to find out, after completing a police station, how long do you take to open that police station? Because I'm asking this with reference to the police station in Ramasemola in Limpopo. The police station is completed. I went through there. And the police station is there, but it's not functional, it's not working, it's not opened, and the grass is so big, it's not maintained. So I just want to find out, how long do you take to officially open a police station after the police station is completed? And the other question is with regard to the structures of police stations. You've given us a list of police station that you actually intend to operate or to re-establish. But on the list, when I was checking the list and also with regard to the numbers, I've came across some of the police stations that are still temporary. I can give an example of a police station that is actually using these temporary structures in Ellens Dwarren and also in Kloto. Those police stations are in Limpopo. I just want to find out, when are you going to actually put permanent structures in those police stations? Because those police stations, according to the information I received from the people in that station, they said it is long. They've been servicing the community in those temporary structures. So I actually don't see some of those police station on your list, so I'm not sure as to whether is it on the on your list or is it in the next financial budget. So I just need clarity with regard to that. And the other one is with regard to the recruitment strategy that you also indicated that you are also going to use a new strategy to recruit people, where you also indicated that schools and community police forum are going to be also asked to participate in the recruitment. So I just want to find out, are you going to change the system of the forms that you are now issuing to people who want to be police? And what is the new strategy? How are you going to implement that? How are people going to actually apply to be members if you actually you are going to do away with the forms that you are also using currently? And I'm finished the first one. Thank you. Let me know just.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question, thank you for the presenters. My first question goes to slide number 45, paragraph 3. I think it's paragraph 4, enforcing compliance of the DSA. You are saying that at the end of May 30th, non-compliant senior managers will be excluded from salary increase, incentive process, and the pay progression. Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that? Why they have not yet complied with DBSA? Why? That's my first question. My second question, Chairperson, last time I requested the names of the board members. Why? It's because I wanted to go to slide number 63, where the status of the implementation of the firearm permit system we apply. I wanted to know again who are the board members, when did they start to work, how often do they meet. The last question, Chairperson, it goes to slide number 76. Six project managers post, advertised, and interviewed. Appointment end of March. Have they been appointed? I just need the answer yes or no. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, a comment. If you go through the document and you go through the presentation, basically on every single page, there's a target. Yet these targets are not in the annual performance plan. Now, the fact of the matter is that is why we raised the issues that we raised last week. The annual performance plan is supposed to contain these targets, and they're not containing these targets, which makes oversight for this committee extremely difficult, because we now got to refer to 3, 4, 5 different documents to get to the targets. And Chair, I would request through you that we give consideration to asking the department to draft a one document that contains all of these targets. That's just a comment that I want to make, because it's really going to be impossible for us. Not impossible, but it makes it difficult. And over and above that, that's the requirement in any case, is that these targets should be contained within the performance plan. I'm glad to hear that it was actually 1.1 billion rand and not 1.1 million rand as was contained in your annual performance plan for vehicles, because I would have really thought it would result in quite a fight for the three vehicles that you could have bought with the 1.1 million as contained in your annual performance plan. Chairperson, the first question that I have is around the issue of police stations. Now, the building of police stations. If I understand correctly, it was said that there's 10 more that needs to be completed before the end of the financial year to reach the 29 that was in the target for the year. Today is the 29th. which means we've got 2 days to complete those 10. Can we get an indication if we say that there's 10 and they're 90% complete, where we actually stand with the completion of those stations? I also see in this list that there are again stations in here that has been opened already, that are set 99% complete, 85% complete, whatever the case may be. They've been opened, blue downs, open. Jefferson, I would like to ask a specific question on firearms. Slide 5. 100% of firearms, dot pin marked. I want to know specifically, what are we talking about in terms of if we say firearms? Are we talking about every single firearm within the possession of the SAPS? Or are we talking about the new firearms? Are we talking about those that you are going to buy and still distribute? Just for clarity on exactly what are we talking about, so that we don't come back and then we say when we get to the annual report next year that it was actually 100% of the new ones. The other question that I want to ask General Tsopalalas, to yourself. The ITC integration with criminal justice, the CJS, is not a program that started last year or the year before. It's a long ongoing program. I want to know in simple, absolute simple terms, what system can talk to what system within the CJS at this stage? With other words, what progress have we made up to now? Can what system is talking to justice's system, is talking to correctional services system, is talking to home affairs system? And did we hear you correctly? Is there no backup? Slide 6. What are the limiting factors that result in only a 90% of capacity projects being completed? Say 90% completed, what are the limiting factors? The reason why I'm asking that question is that, Chairperson, if you're going to plan for 90% or you're going to plan for 70%, why don't you then plan the 70% so that you can have 100% completion? Why don't you plan the 90% so that you can have 100% completion? So why? What is the limiting factors? What are these limiting factors that we are talking about? Chair, then I want to ask, I think this is my last question, if I'm not mistaken, I want to ask my last question in terms of what is contained within management, that budget? We've heard it's the Secretariat. What else are in that budget management? And then just a comment, and General Schutte, maybe you can answer that question for us, is the at the end of December 2010, most programs were lacking behind in terms of expenditure. Now, we understand that because many of the invoices are only issued at the end of the year or in January, February, or whatever the case may be. But management recorded an expenditure of 101.3%. And it is attributed to early retirement packages for many senior officials who had resigned. Can we get an indication whether there any Section 35s were issued during that period of time? If so, how many? And then I will ask further questions later on that issue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I ask my question, Madam Chair, I would also be interested, I hope I will not going to be, especially on the issue of police that have retired, that it takes so long time for them to be fit. I would also be interested, because sometimes some of us have come to a situation where we have to come, and the answer I hope we're not going to be given. So not the answer that is social development, it's another department, because that one I know is not the reason. Some of us are going to help police or retired civil servants who were in trouble, where their vehicles, their houses were being taken away because they are not getting their pensions and all the money's benefits that we, I hope we're going to be given today a real answer, not pass the buck to another department. I just wanted to make that comment because I think the police must answer that question, not pass it to any other department. Coming to my question is, probably you need to be clarified on slide 5. What does that slide 5 mean? It says 100% firearms and bullet resistant vests and plan 4. And then the gentleman was talking from supply chain management. He said they are not going to buy new firearms. So now we need to know now what is it, because what does that 100% firearms and so on, what does that mean? Because our worry, Madam Chair, is that our visit to police stations indicates that there are more firearms than the police need. You go to a police station, you find a stack of firearms, and you ask them, how long were these firearms? They've been here. Why? We don't know. We don't need them. They were supplied that. They were given to us from National. So that's why I'm interested in that one. There's this issue of rental allowance. Is this rental allowance $1.388 billion? Is it for National or is it for the whole country? Also, if it's only for National, what are these buildings which we are renting? Because I can imagine if you are paying $1.3 billion for rent, why not buy your own property and have your own? Just understand, I just want to understand, because it says the rental allowance, $1.388 billion. Can we be explained? What does that mean? Is it National? Is it provincial? And if it is in National or whatever, what stops us from owing our if we spend such a lot of money? It's like when you can buy a house, you rent probably a house for which is worth $10 million. You rent it for such a lot of money. Can we understand what is this thing? So that the 6,000 recruits. This is what we're told by Bob. Can we be told how much does it cost us? They say 6,000 recruits, we lose another 6,000 the same year. I'm not talking about national attrition and all other things, retirement. They said we lose another thing. How much does that cost in monetary terms? They listed the reasons why that is happening. But I'm not interested in those reasons now and all the things that Bob Crane Sapo listed. But I'm just interested now in if you lose annually 6,000 people you recruit, in terms of monetary value, how much does that cost? And what are the losses? And what is the department doing to prevent? I'm just interested, this is my last question, Madam Chair. Let me put them together so that they become one question. Police barracks. Police barracks, Madam Chair. All unions that are here, and some of us have also can testify that in appalling living conditions. How much have been budgeted? What are the targets? When is it going to be this thing? This is a problem. It's probably part of why some of them don't stay. How much has been budgeted, including this bullet-resisting vest? If you can allow us to call it bulletproofs until we get used to this new name you have given us today. But how much would it cost you to buy what police, general police say, friendly bulletproofs compared to what you're paying now? Because there are costs of lives in this thing. Some police do not wear these bulletproofs primarily because they believe that they are not user friendly. and they do say that they are user-friendly bulletproofs. Probably they are expensive. That's why I'm asking, how much would it cost you to buy user-friendly bulletproofs compared to the money you are buying now, so that we can see whether it is worth it? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also take the opportunity to thank the presentation. In our recent meetings and presentations, members of this committee, honorable members, were lamenting and complaining about the lost stolen vehicle, firearms. But today, I see the response being so fine. I think maybe we must commend the establishment of the Board of Inquiry. And if this is implemented, it will curb the loss. Secondly, I just want to find out, when is this board functional? That is my first question. The second question is on the tactical response team. In our recent meeting, I was listening to the beauty that this tactical team is doing now, today. I am told that you still need to establish that. I'm a bit confused. And if you check allocation for 2011-12, there is no allocation there. You'll have to wait for 2 years from now to establish those tactical response teams. I want to know why no allocation for 11-12 financial year. Chair, I think that is all I wanted to ask. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think that was the last question. I just have few. Please really help me here. When signing a contract, can I really just be given a scenario of what should happen? Who should be present? And how should the contract be signed? In this case, I'm asking whether the department must be there. If it is some work that is being offered by the department, should the department be there? Should we expect maybe the head of the division to be also present, maybe? Do we expect the contractor to be there? Do we expect the witness to be there so as to sign the contract? And should we, when we see the documents, see the document that talks to that scenario? I am really asking to be educated on that one so that I probably might have a better understanding. And this maybe will take me to General Shabalala, who referred to PKM and state that I think I have a list of questions which I do not believe, even if I were to start asking in this meeting, I would finish them, but I have a list of them. But maybe it suffices for now to ask just these few questions, just on that one. I just want clarity on whether this contract was open. In that case, I'm talking about open procurement process. I'm interested to know whether the products of that contract are ICT products only, or they also include non-ICT products. If yes, why that? I am also interested to know as to what, if you can explain to me as to what are value-added items and what is the cost of those value-added items. And probably just on this one question, I'm interested to know whether SAPS is paying for purchasing as well as annual maintenance, and if yes, what is the cost of that and what is the relevant information. But like I've indicated, I think I have a list of questions related to this one. I also have a question related to, I think, training. Ma'am, you presented us with quite a list of courses that are offered and quite a number of people that will be trained to an extent that it means you'll be very busy. But my interest, I mean, my question will be to say, what is the duration, what is the average duration of many of these courses? I understand the basic training, you've referred to that, but there is this other long list, and I'm really interested to know the average duration of all these, of all these courses. And also, I listened carefully and I tried to check on your annual performance plan. If there is any indication from yourself to inspect training institutions so that you know as to what is happening in training institutions, I would take it is in the interest of National Office to know as to whether the training that is taking place in the institutions indeed is what you want your subs to be trained on. And I'm basing my question on the visit we undertook to Bishop Lovis College as well as Philippi College. And I just want to say that as the portfolio committee, we were happy, very happy when we visited Chatsworth training facility of subs. We would wish that many of subs training facilities are like that, or they can actually be better than that, but we think that is one best training facility that we visited as this. But I don't believe we can say that with regards to Bishop Lovis Training College. Don't believe we can say that with Philippi. I don't know what is happening today because, of course, you've changed the principal, which we agree fully with. And also related to training, I just want to check, ma'am, if you are aware of the course referred to as SAPS Firearms in Law Enforcement course. If you are aware of that, and if you are, can you just brief us on this course, how it is evaluated and what is the pass rate and the role that you play as head office to ensure that whatever that is happening is exactly what is expected to happen. But I'm just asking you to brief us on that one. I think I might have follow-up questions after you've responded to those questions. Regarding reservists, I can imagine, because there is an agreement, of course, between the department and them, that if it is an agreement, but whatever, that an understanding that those that meet the criteria will be trained. And I'm talking about everything about the criteria. How far are you in this regard, and what is the plan? Because in your presentation, you've referred to the training of detectives, those that have not undergone training, and so on. So you seem to have time frames for absorbing those that have not been trained. But what about reservists? I want to believe that you should be knowing now as to how many reservists you have that meet the requirements, but also and in terms of numbers and so on. So I'm interested to find out about it. And lastly, as I think will be my fourth question, I think it is related to the annual performance plan. I'm really interested to know here. The National Treasury issues out instructions to say this is what must be included in the annual performance plan. my interest will be the process that unfolds after that, to say what then happens, because I imagine that if it is the National Treasury that issues out instructions, surely the National Treasury will then want to know if you have conformed or complied with the instructions it issues out. Does this happen or it doesn't happen? And if for any reason, say for instance, the National Treasury was to say you have not conformed with our national instructions, what then? And I'm asking this question because during the process of these hearings, we also invite entities and we ask from them as to what their views are, whether with regards to the budget, your performance plans, your strategies, and so on and so forth, as a way of preparing ourselves, but also as a way of raising these issues from a better informed position. Now, I just want to check, really, because if, say, for instance, to us, Treasury says the department is not conforming, I'm checking as to whether you have the same information, you don't have any information, you just submit, and so on and so forth. I'm just asking. And that will be, for now, my third question and the last question, which will be the fourth question. Which will be the last question. General Cruiser, you've given us a list of police stations that have been built and so on and so forth. They are 33 in number. But when we go to your strategic plan for 2010-2012, the list of police stations that were to be constructed, renewed, renovated, and so on, they are 42. And I actually, I checked this list against that list. For instance, there is no Pokeng Dock Unit, Rustenburg, whatever. It's NRE, that one. There is now, you don't have Klipgat Police Station, Mabopane. There is now no Scottsdale Police Station, RNU, for RNU. There is no Esikawini Police Station reestablished Police Station. There is no Dagamanskop Police Station, it's for repair and upgrade. There is no Lamberts Bay Police Station, it is for repair and upgrade. There is no Jane Fess Police Station, it's a new police station. There is no Matox Police Station, it's a new police station. There is now no Chungwa Police Station, it's NRE, newly re-established police station. They are 9 in number, and if you add that 9 to this 33, then it gives us the 42. But you have not said anything. I'm not sure whether I did not hear you, but you seem not to be saying anything, and this takes me to this 90% completion, 90%. What is this 90% completion? Is it 90% for the structure itself, for the police station itself that is being constructed, or it is 90% of this total number? If maybe I can then be clarified on that one. Is it 90% of the total number, 42, which is 42 in as far as we are concerned, or is 90% of the work that should be done? We're going to take responses from the department. Outside members, there's tea. No. We're not going to go for tea. We're going to take... Just take, and it's here in the house. You can always grab a cup and come back so that we can take responses. Over to you, National Committee.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I guess my colleagues have listed, especially according to the problems as they presented, working on answers. With one which answers some few, but every member will many questions will be answered by many people as we go forward. Madam Chair, the few questions one will look at, it's a pension question. Maybe let's go broader with this question, which has been the question of welfare. I'm sure even in the documents like APP, we are making the point of the welfare of the members. So as the members of the SEBS and after they've left the establishment, there are quite several things that we have put in place trying to improve the wellness and well-being of the members. One of them is a death grant, Madam Chair, which we have expanded. Death grant was defined in a very narrow way to say if you've died in the line of duty, you will get the death grant from the establishment. That means that if you died, you were shot, and that's that. But it was not taken as dying on the line of duty. If you move from station A to station B, you have a car accident, you die. It was not taken as we've corrected that. So that is the death on the line of duty now. And that death grant will go for those members. That has been. Madam Chair, this has been one of the very serious sore points. As if you would have been in the last meeting of the management where this issue was really taken up. We understand that it's supposed to be 3 months to round you up, to get everything that belongs to you. Well, with the death grant, let me say it's a month. That's what now is guaranteed. With a death grant, it's a month, Madam Chair. That one is corrected. It is so. But with this one, it's still a 3 months that has been put, unfortunately, which is long itself, but still we're not sticking with these 3 months as the South African police. Madam Chair, the instruction has been strictly issued to the head of the personnel, Lieutenant General Mazibuko, to go and correct this thing and staying with the 3 months or less on this matter. There will be several issues that have been raised about it, which really some of them would be more internal in the South African police rather than the external, as the Honorable Member George said, that we need to fix. Madam Chair, I want to put my head on the block that let's come and report here that there is nothing, at least more than 3 months, which is long. But it has been taking some years, sometimes a year, 6 months, 7 months, which is true. So can we be allowed, Madam Chair, to put the head on the block to say next time we come, there will be no member complaining more than 3 months of fixing this? Because I don't think that we have a very genuine reasons of not having doing it properly coming to this. There would be few cases, Madam Chair, that will go beyond. One case, when the family is in dispute, where does this thing go? Maybe after the death, even during the pension, there is a dispute. While you're supposed to issue the money, there is other family that comes and say, we're part of the family. So that does delay because we have criteria and regulations how the money is given. So there will be those cases. There are not too many, but there will be still those cases. Looking after them, Madam Chair. Coming to reservists, I hope we're not instructed to redefine the police about reservists that has been taken and we're going on. Madam Chair, as one came and joined the minister, there was a huge problem about reservists. It should not be accepted as if those problems were not known. At one time, there was a shooting between reservists and the police on the street. There was. We should not act as if we have just forgotten that there were huge problems. The major problem is exactly the failure to understand the concept of a reservist. You come as a reservist and you say you have been a reservist for 2 years. Why are you not taken as a police? Now, it's used as a gateway to joining the police at the expense of other new blood that is supposed to join the police. That's one. But two, if you're a reservist, it does not necessarily follow everything that you must fulfill if you're going to be a permanent member. The age thing, the education thing, and other things. Which you, if you're going to be the permanent member, you will have to follow and fulfill those criteria. So, the question of saying people that are working should be taken as reservists is exactly that it should not be the way of seeking employment to be a reservist. So if you are going to be a member of the South African Police, you will apply as such and taken according to all other criteria that everybody is taken on. So that has been, because there have been a lot of problems, Madam Chair, when it comes to the question of reservists and coming up. But also, the question of reservists would have been, because they're not strictly on the same policy and same criteria with the police, there will be a loose end. One of the major loose ends that has been there has been a uniform issue, which people live with it during the period when they're there and it's unaccounted for. We don't know where that uniform is. And you will have bogus police and everything, all that kind of thing. So that you are not on the strict condition that you would be on the same member, permanent member of the South African Police. So trying to cut on that, to say the reservists must be more strict, for us to be more strict, we must know where they are, they must work, and all that kind of stuff, Madam Chair. Coming to the question you have asked, right to this one, if I'm not mistaken, the whole training last year was on reservists, the whole intake. Many of them with the relaxed conditions and criteria. For instance, there was a little bit of relaxation on the standard, education standards. There was a little bit of relaxation on the age. I think we moved to 40. But I went to see the training and I said, people might die if they do this kind of training at 40. So it's one thing that if you go to a college and you see the physical training, really is a torture rather than training to the 40-year-olds. But it was agreed. But there would be, Madam Chair, those that you could not compromise to, criminal records you could not. So there was a big war between the management, the minister, and the representatives of the reservists, especially sub and props, to say take one, take all. It could not have been. Because if you have a criminal record, you can't be taken on. If you refuse some issues like psychometric test and all, you can't be taken. So there was that. And huge number, Madam Chair, could not make it. Could not make it. But those that we still find, they will go through the training that is normal training now, because even though they had to go to the normal training to people, there was no relaxation about training per se, as you are taken on if you are going to be a member of the South African Police. But too many of them
could not make it, Madam Chair, on the matter coming on. So we are finalizing. People will be taken, but will be strict, Madam Chair, that people must be working, doing, because we agree that member South African citizens must contribute, but they should not contribute trouble. We don't want a contribution of trouble. We want to contribute fighting crime. But if we have to go to the streets and call the police to shoot on people that are supposed to be police and shooting back and all that, that's not the contribution we're calling. So it will be important that we stick with that so that there can be a proper control on the reserves. There will be still there, Madam Chair, but on this kind of a format that we are raising. How long does it take to open the session? Madam Chair, I think I'm not mistaken. This one, specific conversation, was opened by the minister officially. I might not put my head on the block how then the station is maintained, but it was opened by the minister. I remember because we were supposed to go together with the minister. I was taken by, but the minister proceeded to officially open the police stations. It's true, there are many police stations, Madam Chair, that operations go on without opening, which might take some time getting time to go and officially open the police station. And when the police station is finished, yet people are not working. So some are continuing working without being officially open. Some, Madam Chair, may be answering on, there are people working on those police stations, but regarded as open, but they're about to be finished. Let's take Mvuli here in Cape Town. Beautiful police station. But we still have to fix, put some list, some leaves on it. But we could not have deprived the people of Mvuli the luxury of having police station because leaves are not working when every other thing works. So we'll start. For now, I'm sure it's keeping the police a little bit fitter because there are no lifts to go to the third floor and second floor. So the Pinar itself, Madam Chair, Pinar was built without any impact, environmental impact. It has no sewage, no sewer. So we had to do, but the police station is finished, it's there, it's beautiful, people want it. So you are working on it with an extra trucks to work as the system of sewage and all that. But the crux of the matter, the sewage will have to be there one day. We only hope that the environmental impact will allow us, because I shudder to think if they say no, you can't, what will happen to the police station? So it's there, it's working, but it's not finished until you put that. That's why, while it's working, but it's not exactly the finished product as a police station, Madam Chair. I think there will be several of those. Maybe the last two more questions. The police of temporary stations. Madam Chair, I know you do visit police stations. There are better temporary police stations, there are permanent police stations in terms of what structure would be there than if you go to the permanent police station that you'll find there. The last was Cape Town. The last month's visit was east of Eastern Cape. Madam Chair, you just wonder how people live here. If you go to Hlohonkulu, Sababumvu Police Station, going to Flagstaff Police Station, this is east of Eastern Cape, where before you reach the police station, you drive 1.5 hours on the 21-kilometer road.
then that's the time we would drive. When you come in the police station, that's why General Kula was talking about, when you come, it's a week goes without water at all at the police station, at all. So it's what we're trying to fix, to buy for ourselves, because even so, they're supposed to go to public works. Public works will apply to Mthatha as public works and then come back. So there is no drop of water by that time in the police station. She requested to go to the bathroom in one of these police stations, and the old police said, no, you can't go there. She insisted that, no, we'll go because I want to see. They said, no, you can't go. She was restricted going there. The question, where do they go themselves every day? So if you have a prefab police station with toilets, with storage, with sometimes with showers, you will start to that one that is built, Madam Chair, without those facilities. It's tough out there when you go to this police station. I'll talk about those existing. I'm not talking about the new and all that. It's a tough life for our police, and you go there and you salute them to be members in those police stations, to go and live there. They don't know anything called electricity. I agree with barracks as we went to that barracks, and you just don't know what is this mushroom, it's raining and all that. But Madam Chair, the members will appreciate the inequality of the backlogs that exist out there. So we need to choose between the bad and the very bad. Sometimes seeking what can you do with the police station for the people to work, but for the people to be at the place that is supposed to be living human beings. I'm sure the program that we have undertaken of visiting police stations, the worst police station in provinces, it does help. Not all provinces. There are provinces that are terrible. Eastern Cape is one of them, really terrible. KZN and Limpopo, those provinces, life is really tough when it comes to police stations. So we hope to work and make life easier for the people to work on those areas. The last one would be the police of recruitment strategy. The South African police, we have raised it, has been the area where people join when they have failed everywhere. It was some kind of a Zama-Zama organization. People would ask, have you tried this? They said, yeah. Have you tried this? They said, why don't you try the police? So that must change. We must get the best. We must convert this organization to be organization of excellence. So we start with recruitment. That would be the first one. But the second one is to recruit the wrong people to come and join this organization. And for other reasons, as one recruit asked one old warrant officer in a certain station in KZN, and how long have you been here? This warrant officer said, I've been here for 23 years. And this guy said, I don't think I'll finish 5 years. I'm here to get rich and go home. I'm not going to spend this time that you have spent here. So we need to cap those people joining the organization. So we have put mechanism for that. For instance, Madam Chair, there would be recruitment officers at stations who would go and recruit his force within the force. Hence, December, we arrested a lieutenant colonel in KZN who had a list of 80 people that he has recruited, and they've paid him 2,000 rands each. Yeah. I'm saying, hence in December in KZN, we arrested a lieutenant colonel who had the list of 80 of his recruits who have recruited and paid 2,000 rands each to him, as for them to become the members of this organization. So, we don't believe he's the only one who could do that, Madam Chair. So, now we need to say we don't have recruitment officers. We have recruitment committees. Start from there. You apply rather than somebody sifting and going through, is a committee that sits there and sifts. And these committees will be made by personnel from both national and provincial offices. That's to start with, Madam Chair. Because they've been recruiting officers. Now it's going to be recruiting committees. And these recruiting committees will rotate. They won't be permanently recruiting in one province. Will rotate so that you don't begin to twilana yourself and create your own list. And then after the criteria, Madam Chair, that would have a known one, the standard 10, I must repeat, we have, as the South African police, killed the police of driver's license as one of the criteria. Because it has been hindering good people. The only thing that you did not have is a driver's license. So we're saying it should be the part of training to those good candidates, but they don't have driver's license. And it must be said, for Africans, it's a difficult thing to get a driver's license. It's an extra kind of certificate. So we have killed that one. Because the other problem, even those, Madam Chair, that have this driver's license, I call, they are bought like a bread. That's why our cars are smashed and dashed all over. They go and get them wherever they get so that they can get it. So if it becomes a part of training for those that come, you know that the person has a driver's license. So which is one thing. But all other criteria will stay for now. After that, Madam Chair, we'll consult, I think the question was, how do we consult schools? We will ask the school that you attended, who were you at school? What was your behavior at school? The reference, yes, Madam Chair. Even your church. Even if it's the church can give you as reference, we will ask you from the church. It might happen that you are troublesome. But using such credible structures, but also our structures like CPF. But, Madam Chair, we'll still weigh that information because otherwise we might find that people are jealous that my child got in and I'm the chair of the CPF and say, you know, you took a wrong person, you should have taken so. So it gives us in the overall finalization of understanding a candidate we have. So, but it's a broader thing, but it also helps to anchor the people in the community where they come from as they begin to say, these are our police, because at least they do have a say in the taking up of the South African police. We are not going to change the basic things we want about you, but we are just adding on processes going forward to make you to be a member of the South African police. So that is about the recruitment policy, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I will end there and ask my colleagues to be specific on the environments that they have presented.
National Commissioner, we will have to break for lunch, but because you've responded to some of the questions, I can imagine just on the responses you've given, there might actually be follow-up. In fact, on the reservists, the taking, just before we break for lunch, I thought that the member was actually saying, she's definitely not talking about those that are unemployed in the true sense of the word, who will want to get in there and then later be subs members through reservists. I thought she was talking about a housewife, you know, somebody who is seated at home, but who cannot say I'm employed, because it would seem like the regulations have not seen them. They refer to unemployment as this thing that will make you not taken as a reservist. and I should think that should be defined as to what unemployment are you referring to. Could be a reserve, it could be a housewife, it could be somebody who's retired but unemployed, you know, and I think that is where the question is in the main, to say how are you defining this unemployment as preventing people from being taken over and above everything. And probably just on that one, including the question that I asked, I fully agree, National Commissioner, with the view that some people will definitely not qualify. They are reservists, but will not qualify to be subs because of the criteria that you say, or that are there. But those that meet the criteria, how many are they? Because I think it is incumbent upon subs to know the number, to say how many are they, what is the plan, so that when we go out there, we are able to provide them with answers, but SAPS too is able to provide them with answers. I think I've received quite a number of questions on that one. Is there a plan, is there a way of knowing that of this 100, only 50 or 30 meets the criteria, and of that 30 that meets the criteria, we have trained 5, and we're left with 25, and this is our plan of training this 25 that meets the criteria. I'm not talking about those who do not meet the criteria, those with criminal records. I'm actually talking about those that are wah. And lastly, just on the questions on the responses, National Commission, the Dababoof, it's not on your program. Those very police stations you're referring to, they are not on your threat plan as identified police stations for renovation or for construction or for what have you. And that takes us to the second question, to say how then do you identify police stations for renovation, for being built anew, and so on and so forth, because they are not there. I have the list here, and it's a 4-year list, so they're still not on the program over a period of 4 years. So those people will still not be having a toilet over a period of 4 years. And Eskawin is there. It's a new police station. Deppen North is there. Hesview is there. It talks to the identification of the police station. How do you identify police stations when you have such police stations that are being renovated now, when you have the police stations that need a toilet? On this, on the ones that follow up question, not in your question.
I just wanted to ask the National Commissioner, because this is the issue which we've been told time and again, and we're not getting a satisfactory answer. Why do you list police stations that have been completed long ago and opened? So we're not talking about completion, because you came with this version of official opening. That was not our issue. But there are police stations which are in your list, which were long finished and long opened. And because of that, it creates an impression to us that you do not know what's happening in terms of these police issues. You're probably grabbing figures which, because you've got police stations which we know that they're not only finished, but they were opened and they are functioning. And if you go to them, you don't see a sign of even a plumber or an electrician. The police station is just working. Why do you include them in your list?
You know, the vast majority of reservists are The vast majority of reservists are not criminals. They do not use their uniforms to go and rob people. They don't demand full-time jobs. We're talking tens of thousands of civilians who give their time to the SAPS for nothing. They expect nothing. They are answering your call to assist the SAPS in the fight against crime. And as of Friday, you basically are targeting thousands and thousands of them, and you will throw them out as of Friday this week. That's what you're doing. That's what you're achieving with these regulations. because they are housewives. They are people who are retired. They're people who do not work and don't wish to work and don't have to work. They don't want jobs from you, but you are deliberately targeting them and you intend to throw them out on Friday. Don't ever, ever stand up on a podium and ask the citizens of South Africa to assist you in the fight against crime again, because you're throwing them out when they are doing exactly that. It is a very, very bizarre and vindictive move you are taking.
Well, I'm not taking this lecture. I'll take it as a lecture and I'll just ignore it. That I will never stop, stand and ask people to help me. That's a lecture that I don't need, Madam Chair, and I'm not going to take it. Madam Chair, there were thousands of reservists that were marching on the street. There were thousands of them, to such an extent that there was a shootout between the police and the reservists. And I'm not going to say those people they fit to be members of the police when they go out there and there is a shootout between them and the police. There were thousands marching in the street of Johannesburg. They are not going to be police. I don't care who they say on their behalf. If you represent them, they're not going to get in this police while I'm here. That one must be clear and sound and the precinct and crispy. We're saying, Madam Chair, we're developing the police, as the Minister has said. Things that are suggested like this will be taken on board. We're saying the clear cut of it is to get people that are working so that they don't turn around tomorrow and say, I'm in, pay one where's a pair. So you, because you are in, you started buying, you want to get all of you in there. We're not going to take those people in the South African police. And that must be clear and be understood like the next day. Suggestions are going to be taken on board to say, what about housewives? But we'll have to. It is not as crispy as a person who works. Could be a housewife that is young and begin to enjoy it and says, I want to be police. And goes back to the same problem that we're trying to avoid, Madam Chair. So let's be allowed to work on this one with a full understanding that the policy will develop to make sure that the police service of South Africa gets the best of them. But we will forever go and continue to ask South Africans. Those who want to come in, they'll come. Those who don't want to go, they'll go home. It's not our problem. Coming back to the issue of the question you have raised, Madam Chair, we'll have to get proper figures. But I'm saying, which won't be difficult, Madam Chair, most of our colleges last year, they took only reservists. So we can know how many were in college. Even the main college, 1,800 of them were only reservists, Madam Chair. So we took them, so it would be easy to find out that college had so many those, but most of them, without fail, would have been reservists last year. There was no intake, fresh intake from outside. It was just reservists. Having that happened, Madam Chair, it was a scrap around to get the criteria, by the way. Hence the war of take one, take all. We really scrapped around. Even those numbers were made by the 40-year-olds, Madam Chair, which I've said is a torture to take the 40-year to those programs we've seen there. It's a little bit of the education, Madam Chair. There was some relaxation on these matters. So, but we say, if they still come forward and they say, I'm a reservist, and this is a criteria that fits, we don't have a problem taking them on, even on the program of the existing training general, because you'll have to pass what police all they pass. There is no relaxation that your cause will be lesser. Once you say to the police, you'll have to be. Go through it. But we believe, Madam Chair, if there are people that are still left by the system out there, there will be very few. If there is argument and we meet people that they fit it, Madam Chair, we are prepared to sit down, take them on. We have made that promise. We'll keep that promise, Madam Chair, of taking them, so long they make criteria. But there shall be no take one, take all.
That must be clear, and we will not take that, take one, take all, as a reservist. That question, I'm sure we'll go to the yeah. But I did try to explain some of them. To say, like Mfuleni is a beautiful police station here at Mfuleni, but they don't have the lift. We will say it's not finished. When you go to it, there is life. It's continuing, but it doesn't have the lift. Maybe we need to redefine exactly as you say, but it's true. This Cowan is finished. I know, I've been there even before this employment. I did go to the police station, Cowan is finished. And we are trying to clean. It has been a problem of this mix that we need to clean. It's like, Madam Chair, what you have raised about vis-a-vis your Durban North. I wonder if you did not send any spy in our last meeting before you came here for you to understand that discussion. Well, everybody is allowed to have a spy. I don't think she has, but everybody is allowed. Madam Chair, we raise this question. Let me give you the example. My police station, Durban North, I drive 4 minutes to it or less. If I have a trouble, I will drive to the Durban Central. It will be less than 10 minutes. If I have a problem, there is a refurb, there is a prefab police station in Mhlanga, which is beautiful. I will drive 3 minutes. If I have a trouble, whatever trouble, I will drive to Greenwood Park for 15 minutes. But Greenwood Park and Durban North are under renovation. In that mist, in that sea of police stations, I asked Madam Chair today, I'm not going to repeat the words, I use tough words. But the problem, people say, they've been on the program and the money has been spent some years back in study, whatever, tailoring, what. There is money already spent long before we work on these things. But I have a police station that is supposed to be there, which was requested in 2004, called Kwanot Omboshe. That is MCing. Kwanot Omboshe, Madam Chair, you drive 1 hour, 15 minutes. When you reach Kwanot Omboshe, you ask where is the police station. They say, You left it at Tukelaferi after 1 hour, 15 minutes. The other police station that is in the renovation there is Kwabesta. Kwabesta, you walk from Kwamashu police station to Kwabesta. You walk from Kwabesta to the one of the massive police stations in the Republic of South Africa called Inanda. You walk. You might drive 3 minutes to the new station called Induzum, but we are putting money to renovate Kwabesta when there is one of Ombosh. So, Madam Chair, these things, they start long and there is money that has been put on it. If you withdraw it now, we're going to be taken here skinned for this famous term of fruitless. So now we need to proceed when you know very well that even your conscience tells you you can't do this. You can't do and renovate Kwabesta where you walk to Inanda, where you walk to Kwamashu, where you walk to Matimatolo, where you walk to Nduzu. So that's that. I don't know why other people will be so lucky, but it looks like it's Eben and the former. To me, it sounds like a biblical approach of talents, that if you have five talents, we'll take from the one and give to those that have five. The stations you put there, Abu Scottbear, I don't know why Scottbear police station will be renovated. But, Madam Chair, they fall out of the time that we take this decision, including the police station you're asking. But that police station, the worst part of it is water, Madam Chair, is a part of those that we're going to deal with resources to it. We are buying them the tanks because nothing else, so that they don't finish the week without water. As SEPs, we supply ourselves the water to those such police stations, Madam Chair. Coming to renovation to them, I don't know when we're going to finish about Deppen North, Nabu, Greenwood Park, and all. We're tied up to them. As you move along the beach, about Brighton Beach is under renovation. Some people are really, really lucky on those waters. We are trying to correct it. But these that we talk about, we are tied up to them. We are not going to be out without really causing a problem with the Auditor General and other structures, including the part, including the Portfolio Committee and all that.
No, thank you very much. We still have quite a number of questions that have not been responded to, but let us break for lunch. Time now is 25 past 1. Let's come back here at 2:15 and allow the department to respond to questions. The lunch is arranged at 90 plain. Yeah, 90 plain. We're supposed to have our...